Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the Tech Gaming Podcast in no way, shape, or form is responsible for the injury of death of any Tanukis. However, 47 mages, 189 orcs, 23 giants, and 12 dragons were sacrificed. Rest in peace, bastards.
Are we really going to talk about that? Because I played that game.
Which game?
The PETA Tanuki game.
The PETA Tanuki game? Which one is that?
So they made a game. The whole PETA controversy thing comes from the fact that they have a pretty talented browser-based game designer.
Okay.
And he just needed to flex his muscle, so they thought of some controversy that they could pick. Because he also made a Mario clone for when they were doing something against KFC that's actually...
Yeah,
aside from the fact that all the levels are made up of starring chickens, and then all the cutscenes are about how lazy Mario is and all this stuff, and how Pamela Anderson is a better princess than Peach, and then all the levels are made up of like bloody KFC buckets and shit. But
that's awful.
They need to pick their targets a little bit better, because I killed dogs in Call of Duty and Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tanuki leaf that I picked up that turned Mario into the, I don't know, Mario Tanuki suit. I come on, really?
Yeah. Well, and then once you beat the game, there's a video that made me really wish I hadn't played the game, because the video is basically of people beating real life Tanukis to death, and I was like,
here's your reward.
What I can't understand is why PETA would give two shits, or any amount of shits, about any kind of animal cruelty. And because in movies, totally makes sense behind that. Woohoo, let's not even kill bugs in movies. That's fine. But when it comes to, like they don't try and stop you from killing other things in cartoons, like on TV. You know, Invader Zim. What?
They've complained about cartoons before.
Have they? But, like...
What about Tom and Jerry, that cat on mice?
But to this level... No, but they haven't ever complained about it to this level, and I think it's weird that they've singled out a video game instead of attacking the whole, because they're definite, like, Deagle just came up with some, I think we could come up with 20 in the next literally, like, 2 minutes, where you have more animal cruelty than the game they picked. So I just don't really understand why they're singling out this game. It feels more like a particular grudge than an actual, like, PETA-driven mission.
Well, I think it was just an excuse for that guy to make another game is really what I think it is. Because, I mean, somebody else pointed out, why attack the Tanuki suit when you could just as easily attack 20 years of him literally stomping turtles to death?
Right, yeah. Or any of his other suits. Any of them at all.
Did you guys abuse the chicken in Skyrim? That first village? Did you guys fuck with it?
You can abuse a chicken?
Not abuse
there's,
like that.
There's a chicken. You can kill him, but no, I always just ignore the chicken. Apparently the chicken can catch you stealing, though. That's one of the bugs.
Mm.
Wait, the chicken can catch you stealing?
I pulled the Zelda, and I fucked with the chicken. I killed the chicken. Everyone got mad at me.
Well, right, but that was because that was the funny thing in Zelda. This is kind of like Zelda's Revenge. So in Zelda, they would just attack you, but in this one, they can actually catch you stealing and report you.
Yeah. Well, it's just weird. I think that was supposed to be a bug, because chickens and I think cows can also, their line of sight matters. Let's talk about Skyrim later. First, I want to hear what else Deagle has been playing.
Well, we didn't give a proper intro, so let me do that here. So, proper intro time. Hello and welcome to the cruelty-free Tech Gaming Podcast World 9-2. I'm your host, Robert Desert Eagle Allen. With me is my main man, Sean Callie Kirkland. I had to change his name because he's lived in the state for 5 years.
You know, I'm really worried about that because I lived in New Orleans for 8 years, and I do think I'm going to be here longer than that. So when I hit that 8-year mark, do I change my screen name?
Yeah, I actually gave that some consideration today. I said, when is Sean going to drop the NOLA?
Came from NOLA. NOLA's in your heart. I think that's why it makes sense to keep it, because that's what you have. So.
That voice you're hearing, helping him on such litigious adventures as our own butt-kicking barrister, Sage Samarage, Morris Green.
Hello. Thanks for not being too upset that I was gone last week, everybody.
And with pants that just got a little bit tighter after today's announcement of a new Power Rangers game, Blue Swim.
Did I ever tell you guys how I got hit on by a professional wrestler?
Did I ever tell you how I never want to hear about your pants tightening due to a Power Rangers anything?
What if it's Power Rangers?
Let's hear about the professional wrestler.
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, so I was at an event a couple of weeks ago, and there's this one local wrestler who's playing, like, the typical gay character. He's, you know, wrestling in pink tights, and he has, like, a scarf on and stuff like that. Well, over his scarf, he had, I guess, like, you know, like how they have fancy robes and old school.
Uh-oh, dropped out. We got censored.
He had old school stuff.
And then he put it in. Oh, sorry. I was going into
details. Well, as you know, as he's getting into the ring, and of course, you know, if you've never been to a wrestling event, the audience is as much of a part of the show as the actual wrestlers themselves are. And, you know, he's in the ring, and I get up, and I shout at him, "Nice curtains!" And he looks at me, and he walks over, and he says, "Oh, you know you want them," and then he starts bouncing his man boobs around.
Oh, my God.
Oh, moobs.
Oh, moobs. They should never exist.
I'm looking for a transition from man boobs into Super Mario 3D Land. Can you guys help me out?
He's got and some big old moobs.
Okay.
He has boobs.
I heard about four different things, so I'll pretend like I heard them all. So let me kick things off talking about the game, which might just be the killer app that both, I think, 3DS and Nintendo needs. Now, I'm glad to see that the 3DS units are finally moving off the shelves with the price cut, the $169 price cut. And it's nice to see Nintendo finally, you know, taking a loss on hardware. And I think with all these units in people's hands and a growing library of, well, there's a lot of forgettable games on the market right now, that 3D Land has the potential to be a big hit. I think it may, I don't know, just hit Christmas gold this season. Now, one of the things I think is really important about the game is it's the first 3DS title that really utilizes 3D. When you play the game with the slider all the way down, 2D, you have to constantly keep an eye on Mario's shadow where he is. And 3D really delivers a sense of depth perception. The game itself, it will probably, initially, it's going to remind people of Super Mario 64, but I think it's much more focused and a linear title. And when I say linear, I know that that's often used to describe like a very limited path. It's a negative for a game. But with 3D Land, it doesn't really feel like a limitation. And I think it's almost closer to the spirit of the original Super Mario, you know, platformers. And as such, there's less exploration and a little bit more and less experimentation with the environment. There are, you know, a ton of these hidden alcoves, and they're always feel like they're hidden by this unspoken rule set. So I've never had a problem finding one. But they're usually shallow. They keep you on track. The one thing that's really nice about the game, and I don't know, maybe a detriment as well, is the worlds don't really have a set theme to them. They kind of send you all over. And as such, 3D Land feels more like a greatest hits game than an original game that has this sense of continuity. So. I really like it. I really like it. It's fun. It starts off really easy to try to probably bring in a larger demographic. But after that, another world opens up once you think you've completed it. And so many different things, you know, open up. There's a lot to do. And it's just really fun. It's probably the one of my top 3DS titles right now.
Is there something wrong with me that I have absolutely zero interest in it, and yet I love Super Mario Galaxy 2?
Yes. Yeah, I would say to play it, and I think it's one of those, yes, it saves this, yeah. I would recommend for you to play it. Perhaps there's a kiosk in your area that has a level or two, and then if you can walk away and say, oh, I don't need to play this, then, you know, you're cool. But more than likely, I think you'll get the hook, Blue.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Super Mario 3D Land as I'm sure people who grew up with the Super Nintendo felt about Sonic Generations, where I see it and I'm like, good for you, I hope that does well. I will never, ever feel any desire to play that game, though.
No, why? Why don't you like
I don't hate Mario or anything, it's just that I didn't grow up with that, so there is zero nostalgia factor for me.
Wait, you didn't play Mario?
Not, I mean, I played it on the NES, and then I moved to Genesis, and...
So no Super Nintendo.
No Super Nintendo. N64 was something that, well, Super Nintendo was this way too, but it was always something I played at someone else's house. Mm-hmm. and then, you know, Dreamcast, and, you know, the first Nintendo system I owned, other than, you know, Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, was the Wii.
Hmm.
And you didn't play any of the, like, SNES era games on the Game Boy?
Not the Mario ones, because by that point, he already didn't mean anything to me.
You're dead to be Mario.
I mean, it's just like ask somebody who grew up without a Genesis if they played the Sonic, you know, the Sonic re-releases on Game Boy Advance. I bet most of them haven't, or if they did, it was sort of just check it out and you're like, meh, whatever.
But did you like the games to begin with? It just seems like
I think they're good games. They're fantastic games. It's just I think that nostalgia is a big part of those. I think if you've never played those before, and you go back and play them now, you'll go, oh, these are really good games. I'm glad I played this. But it's not like you're going to play it and be like, I'm a Mario fan now.
Hmm.
You know,
maybe you're onto something with nostalgia, because I did play, well, Rayman Origins. I played the demo of that. And to be honest, there was something within the first level was missing. I'm not sure if it was the reuse of the same enemies. The shooter level I adored, and I thought
that should
have its almost its own game. And then the next level, the boss level, the underwater zone where those sea creatures are chasing you, I just kind of got frustrated with the one hit kill. And I wasn't having nearly as much fun as I thought I would be, and nearly as much fun as 3D Land. So.
But I think that there's also a factor that's not just a lacking in nostalgia, because I have a big nostalgia for Mario. Like, I'm not a drop my camera on the floor style fanboy, but I just love to bring him up every chance we get.
We should locate him, poor guy.
But I am a pretty big Nintendo fan. Like, when we were sitting at E3, I was one of the only people who wasn't... I mean, I was disappointed, but I was like, it's okay, I think they'll turn it around. But I think that some of the newer Mario games lose me, and it's not... It's because there's an element there that nostalgia can't overcome, which is that some of the games are just totally lacking in any of the, like, characterization or personality or ingenuity that some of the earlier Mario games have. Like,
which one?
I don't know about that. Yeah, I think Galaxy.
You don't think so?
I like Galaxy. Super and Super Mario Wii, I thought, had tons of character. New Super Mario Brothers. Maybe Wii is at the
end
of
that. Some of them do, but I can remember playing it. Like, what was the one that came out just before? It was either just before or just after Sunshine.
Sunshine came out, and...
And I guess was it the first Galaxy or New Super Mario Brothers?
No, Sunshine was the GameCube. That was the one for the GameCube.
Yeah,
right. Which I wasn't the only a Mario big fan game of. No, I know. I'm not saying on the GameCube. I don't know. I can remember over the years. I'll think about titles. I'll bring it up later. But I can remember over the years having moments in Mario games where I was like,
Luigi's Mansion?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't like it when there's
shadows.
Don't
hate on Luigi's Mansion, because then we're going to lose subscribers.
No, it wasn't Luigi's Mansion.
And I'll get mad,
Mario
too.
Game. No, it was Mario Sunday. Anyway, what I'm saying is, I do think some Mario games fall a little short. I think that they don't always keep hold of sort of those original Mario flares that made them
so
great.
So, wait, which title specifically, besides this one, that you feel have fallen short?
I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was Paper Mario that I wasn't super impressed with, but I feel like I liked Paper Mario, so I don't know. Okay. I'll have to think about it.
I wouldn't put that in the Mario canon, Bullet Bill canon, just because I consider the Mario games themselves, I could be wrong here, but more the action platformers.
I'm the same way. Like, I like the Mario RPG games, except for the original Mario RPG, which, sorry, Square fans, I think that one's poop.
Wait, are you saying Legend of the Seven Stars you think is poop?
I do not like that game.
What? How can you not like that game? That's actually a really great game.
It feels dated now, but at the time it
was. Yeah, I think that was part of it. Same thing with other things, is that I was not there at the time, and I had played Paper Mario, and I think I'd also played Mario & Luigi before I played Legend of the Seven Stars, and it's...
Yeah, but Geno's in there.
Go ahead. I played Legend of the Seven Stars too. Right as it was just coming out, popular. I rented it from Blockbuster, and I really didn't like it either. To tell you the truth, that was my introduction to RPGs, if you will. And it actually took the release of Pokemon Red and Blue to really get me interested in the genre.
I'm going to jump back in time and get you guys an SNES and put it under your Christmas tree.
Oh, you guys put one under mine? I could use a backup.
And then I'll try and cram Ranger X and Shinobi 3 in there, and when it doesn't work, I'll cry.
And then I'll give you Mega Man X.
Oh, that is true. It did have Mega Man X.
Don't forget Mick and Mac Global Gladiators.
That was on
Genesis.
Yeah. I know the guy who worked on that.
Really?
I
played that so much. I love that game. Anyway, back on track. Now, for my next title, I want to jump back, speaking of going back in time, to last June when Sean went to Konami's pre-E3 showcase. Now, Sean, you told me that Automedius Excellent was right up my alley. Now, why was
that? No, it wasn't that. It was Skullgirls.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you told me both of those was going to be right up.
At the pre-release, or the pre-E3 thing, it was Skullgirls, that anything with wheels or whatever it's called.
Burger Time.
Fluid, Burger Time, and that creepy ass bobblehead MLB game.
I could have sworn he told me Automedius was going to be right at my alley.
I was saying Skullgirls, because it's Moe girls flashing their panties in every possible frame of animation.
Oh, well, Deagle will be all over that.
And it's a fighting game.
Yeah, I'm there. Anyway.
You fight against their panties.
Crunch, crunch. Anyway, Automedius. there's two different hooks to the game. There's the shooting and the Moe boobs. And neither of those are really delivered well. And what's funny in my review, it has every Moe archetype that you can name. You know, it's got the demure schoolgirl. It's got the robot, the blue-haired girl with the rabbit ears, you know, everything. And what the game does is it takes cues from the Gradius series. And it's got the old, you know, the speed-up missile, whatever increases your main power, your option, you know, those selectable elements there. And in execution, though, it feels more like Choaniki because it's really clunky. That was that wonderfully homoerotic game that's probably played more for laughs than a good time. And speaking of laughs, I also wanted people to check out, and Blue, I asked you to check out DLC Quest. It's this really amusing satire DLC or indie game that parodies DLC. So you have to play the game and you have to earn in-game currency to earn things like the ability to jump, to have animation, music, even pausing the game. You gotta buy it. You gotta play support. I mean, they nickel and dime you for everything, which becomes the game's core mechanic. It's not, you know, beyond Super Mario World, but I think it's kind of funny and amusing. They got little signposts and everybody's in on the laugh. But anyway, back to Automedius Excellent. It looks dated. In fact, I think it looks worse than Gradius 5 with... It's got these barely there homages to other titles. There's a food stand with the name Contra in the background. It's like, you guys just put the name. You can any harder than at least put, what are their names of the two guys in Contra?
Oh, they're something really generic. Bill and...
Bill and Lance. Bill and Lance.
Bill and Lance, yeah, you're right.
So anyway...
That's such an awesome name.
He just cracked me up, Blue. this is the random cast. The bosses look a little bit better than the rest of the game, but they aren't really that fun to fight. Sure, they have that core that needs to be shot, and they keep with that tradition, but they just occasionally crowd you off screen. One of the problems is that if you choose most power-ups, you can only shoot to the right, and every once in a while, they just linger on the left side of the screen, so you're not shooting them. The girls, they straddle the rockets, and the girl and the rocket combo, they're just way too big and clunky, which kind of worsens the problem. And lastly, the anime boobs. I mean, even if you're into that, there's really not that much in the way of titillation. There's just slightly risque still drawings and paper dolls that move for a second or two, like some...
Paper dolls!
They move, but they feel like this Sega CD holdover. So, yep. I don't have much nice to say about Automedius Excellent besides it's got a lot of options and customization, but without it being fun to play, I can't recommend it. Even for $30, it's a budget title. It really feels like a bad DLC game. Should have been $10.
Yeah, it's hard to recommend spending that much on a shooter these days.
Oh, wait, I would.
Death Smiles.
Yeah, Death Smiles X2, baby.
I gotta get that. I love the first one, but I never picked up the second one, probably because I didn't have any room in my fridge.
My girlfriend just got an iPad, and there's this really cool shooter on there called... crap, I don't remember what it's called. Something about being purple or plums. No, it's really cool. What you do is you've got 10 little plum ball guys, and you draw a shape, and they'll conform to that shape, and they'll all shoot. And they kind of shoot automatically. And basically what you're doing is you're manipulating that shape so that you're avoiding targets and, concentrating your fire on specific targets and things like that.
That sounds cool.
It's really cool. It's really fun, and there's a lot of strategy to it, but it's a shooter, and it's so much more inventive than most of the shooters that people actually pay money for, and it's free.
Wow. Frozen Synapse is coming to iPad, so I may have to pick one up. Tablet Talk Part 2.
No. We probably shouldn't do this.
Oh, dear God, no.
talk about
real, real quick, based on the Tablet Talk, though, I just want to tell readers, the original cut of Tablet Talk, 40 minutes long.
What? I call bullshit.
I am not even shitting you. So we recorded for a little bit over 3 hours last week. Whoa. 40 minutes was my pre-show thing that got cut. 40 minutes was a Tablet Talk.
Just girls, by the way.
We talked that long?
We talked that long. So the rest of the show is only an hour and a half.
Listeners, I wasn't here, but I promise not to let Tablet Talk ever happen again. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
So let me talk about tablets. One last game I want to talk about was I caught it bad this week. Not as bad as some people I know is Skylanders disease. Yeah, I'm a grown man.
So much.
I'm a grown man who just spent $20 on toys. You guys, I want to know, round up here. We're going to go around the room. How many action figures, dolls, and toys do you guys own?
Oh, I have a shit ton.
Inflatable sex dolls don't count.
No, you should see my desk at work. I've got 6 different Captain America figures on my desk.
Wow.
Somebody's
getting knifed to death right now.
Sage just chopping up a carrot in her kitchen.
It's cooking mom alive, 3D.
I'm not chopping shit.
Okay, Blue, how many toys do you got?
Let's see, I have the Joker from The Dark Knight, Optimus Prime, a stuffed...
Let's do inventory, just roughly. Give me a number.
But I like those ones.
Zack Ryder... I'd say probably about maybe 12 to 15, something like that.
Sage?
I am a great appreciator of figurines. They are expensive, so I have slash action figures, so I have not ever bought a lot of them, but I do have, and they're somewhere, I don't know where, they're like in one of our childhood chests. I do have, I think, all of the characters from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And Casey Jones I always have with me, like whatever house I move into, I bring him with me. The rest of them are in a chest somewhere, but...
Yeah, because she's hot.
They've been reissuing the original toys.
Casey Jones is a dude.
Oh, I thought you said... Yeah. Going back to that wrestler.
Yeah, but Blue...
Casey Jones was like the first long-haired bad boy that I ever encountered. You know, like that's the thing. Long-haired,
I was thinking of April.
She's okay.
Anyway,
Blue, yeah, they did re-release the figures for I think the 20th anniversary or whatever, because I bought Leonardo, and they all come with a DVD with an episode of the show.
It's like I saw those. I saw the. I think it might have been Casey Jones actually, on the shelf one at Toys R Us once, and I'm like thinking, now, am I crazy? Or is that an original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles figure?
Yeah, they released basically the entire first line. So the four turtles, Shredder, Splinter, Casey Jones, Bebop, and Rocksteady, I think was all of them.
Tablet Talk has turned into Toy Talk. I just want to feel better about my purchase and that I'm not a weirdo. So anyway, spend $20. Skylanders itself, it doesn't veer too far from, you know, Diablo form. Supposedly it was written by two of the Toy Story scribes, but... I'm not feeling the same Pixar level of dialogue. It's just not quite as engaging, not quite as funny. It tries to walk the line between here's something that's kid safe and should be entertaining for adults, but I feel, I don't know, the dialogue could be a little bit shorter there. So I really like it. Bought a whole bunch of toys, and I think it's a cool idea. I only feel a little bad when they play the commercials and they show the toys I don't have yet.
Now, here's my question. If you didn't get that for free. Do you think you would have spent $70 on the
Starting Chicken? No, I wouldn't have spent $70.
It's going to be $50 at Target, I think, next week.
Yeah.
For a day.
Into it, $50. I would have probably spent $40 for the starter kit.
Well, my thing is, it seems so weird to have such a big starter set. I mean, I guess you need it for the Portal of Power and stuff. Yep. But I feel like if they could just... I feel like a better business proposition would have been just get the cheapest possible way to get this game in your hands. Because it seems like the big thing about it is this addictive collecting manner. And I mean, you're paying $8 a toy.
They must have not felt like it may take off. They must have had some concerns about that, because I'm totally with you. Sell it for, you know, $40 or $50, you know, $10 game plus you're paying for the portal. And then charge up the ass for the little figurines.
Yeah, you know, like I mean, I would have been fine if it's just like the game, Spyro, and the portal for, you know, $20-$30.
Yeah, but the way the game is set up, if you just have Spyro or one character, you wouldn't enjoy, and you wouldn't get that hook yet, because the game, I mean, right off the bat, some of the areas, and they're actually locked off, these areas. Mm-hmm. You can only open them up if you have a certain character. So you're going to walk in and probably get a little aggravated. Mm-hmm. Like, why the fuck can't I, you know, walk down that hall and see what's down there? And they don't even show you what's on there. It's, you know, kind of off screen. So you don't even. Mm-hmm. And so I think you need at least more than one.
Hmm.
You know, to play the game, because each has their different abilities and you can power them up. One of the first things you get is like a little kettle that they wear as a hat and all kinds of things. But, you know, it's definitely fun. The one thing I don't really like about it is it seemed to be the lead platform was the Wii, and, the 360 version seemed to be a port, because little things like when it loads, the music stops, and I don't know, it just feels a little chunky, not as smooth as it probably should have been.
Yeah. What was I going to... Oh, yeah, I think Wii version is also the one that comes with the exclusive. It's either the Wii or the 3DS comes with an exclusive one.
All right, I'm leaving the show. Go pick that up at Target. See you guys next week.
Bye.
But,
What do you guys think of them pretty much ditching the Spyro name and basically making it the Skylanders brand?
Spyro name was Spyro. It was really nowhere the last couple of years, so it doesn't matter. I think ever since they left, Spyro left Insomniac, they just kind of killed it.
Yeah, there were three good Spyro games, and that's it.
Yep.
I
concur.
And I get the impression that Skylanders was an idea, and then they said, hey, we own Spyro, let's throw him in this game. I don't think it was a Spyro game that turned into this other thing.
Maybe.
You don't think so?
One character at the beginning that you see throughout the game, and he has this hot air balloon. And in Spyro, you always have that old miser guy who charges you, says, hey, Spyro, you want a balloon ride? That's going to be 5 million gold, or whatever the currency is, you know? And I don't know, there's a lot of similarities. A surprising amount. I'm saying
it looks like they redesigned Spyro to fit Trigger Happy than the other way around, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of the advertisement I see really focuses on Trigger Happy and Chop Chop.
Yeah, because they're fun to play. You know.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where it started, and then...
Trigger Happy goes... his sound bites are a little annoying, because he just shoots everything and laughs hysterically. But he's only got about 3 or 4 sound samples.
Yeah. But I think... have you guys ever heard of Little Battlers? It was a Japan-only PSP game that did really well over there and never came over here.
Which one? Sound familiar.
It was basically you buy it and it comes with a model kit. And the idea is it's a model game. So you start out with an armature with so much articulation, and then over the course of the game you find new armor for it. So it's just like if you remember the old Mega Man X model kits that they used to have. So you would buy the Mega Man X, and then you could buy the different armors for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that idea, if they did this sort of thing where you actually have the physical toy and then you can buy different armor sets or pieces for it, I think that would be really rad.
Hmm.
So I would like to see that franchise head in this direction, because the toy that the game came with was really cool, but it's the only one they made. So it's like in your game, your toy is so much cooler than the one you have in real life. And you're like,
And I'm not sure, because I don't buy a lot of toys these days, but those little fuckers are packed in the plastic well. Like, I thought I was going to break the little skeleton dude pulling him out of the thing. Is that the new way toys are packed?
For smaller toys, yeah. That kind of packaging. If you're to get like an action figure, they're not so bad. But like the Marvel Universe figure, I can't believe we're talking about toys again. The Marvel Universe figures are
toy cast. Like that.
Wrap it up a little bit, guys.
But okay. I bought a Zack Ryder WWE action figure a couple of months ago, and I thought I was going to break Zack's leg off getting it out of the package.
Yeah, that's the way I felt. Okay, enough toy talk. Moving on. I'm going to pass the baton to Samurage.
What do you want to know?
I don't know. What you've been playing that doesn't start with an S?
Then nothing.
Nothing.
All right,
I had a memo due all week, and in the few free hours that I got, there was one day between last week and today that I actually had like a good chunk of time to play Gamage, and then I've had like an hour here and there, and it's all been Skyrim. So if I can't talk about Skyrim, then I have nothing to say.
Well, we're gonna talk about Skyrim in a little bit.
Okay.
Well, fine, I'll wait.
Because that's all I've been playing, also. But I also played East, so I just wanted to say. I played all of the.
Is that a new game?
It's not a new game, but I just want to say that I played it, and those are. Yeah. I finally decided that Oath of Vel'Ghana is the best one. I played all the PSP ones this week because I decided that I wanted to figure out which one was my favorite.
And which one was that? Remind me.
Oath of Vel'Ghana.
Yeah.
I think that was the first one that XSEED put out. It was Oath of Vel'Ghana.
It was pretty difficult. Like the bosses were pretty tough.
All of them are like that.
Okay.
But Oath of Vel'Ghana is the one that uses the upgraded Ark of Nepishtim engine.
Okay.
And then there was E7 that used a completely new, completely 3D engine. And then there was Books 1 and 2, which used its own engine. But they're all good, but I've decided that Oath of Vel'Ghana is my favorite.
I just didn't understand why, you know, the normal common enemies were so you could walk through those, and that was kind of fun. And then the bosses would come and kick your ass.
That sounds more like E7, because I mean, yeah, the main enemies are easy in Oath of Vel'Ghana, but they at least take a couple hits at the beginning of the game.
Okay, maybe it was 7 then. Sorry, they're a blur to me.
They're so good.
Oh, they're good. There's no denying that. But
you're saying they're all the same to you.
They are all the same, but they're so good. There is a formula for East games, kind of like Zelda games have a formula.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. Okay, so anything else besides the ease?
Skyrim. I played
the gorilla in the
our Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 game, Sons of Bitches. It is sold out everywhere.
I looked at Walmart when I was there.
Wait,
this evening,
you don't have
I didn't
a
even
copy?
See it.
Sean, you don't have a copy?
No, I've been looking for a copy all over town because I thought, hey, everybody.
How many stores
on this...
did you go to?
Let's see. So on Tuesday I went to 3 stores.
Wow.
Yesterday I went to 3 stores.
You never call first, Sean?
No, because like this is what I do during my lunch break because I want to walk somewhere.
Okay. This is what I do during lunch break. During work,
you call, see if they have it in stock.
But then where am I going
to
walk?
Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere that has it.
But what I noticed was a lot of places aren't carrying it. And like the Target over by my office, at least, actually ordered more copies of the original Marvel vs. Capcom because Target's having a sale on those.
29?
Yep. So, I want Hawkeye, like you would not believe. So.
For MASH? I'm kidding. Okay.
No. Alan Alda would be the worst.
Radar would kick his ass.
But yeah, I mean, I looked tonight and I saw the strategy guide for Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, and I saw the original Marvel vs. Capcom, and I saw the $70 collector's edition of Marvel vs. Capcom, but I did not see Ultimate vs. Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah, it's weird. Nobody has it in stock. And the few places who, you know, like I said, got it in stock, they sold out immediately. And then, so
could it be? Here's my conspiracy. This time of year, there's a lot of games coming out. Could they have had a limited release because they couldn't, burn enough copies?
It's possible. I mean, but what else does Capcom have coming out right now?
I think it'd be more likely that a bunch of people were excited for it and went and got them
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you think, I don't know, you could anticipate demand and have enough copies.
If you think so.
One store.
But I'm,
I don't know.
But I'm also thinking the people who pre-ordered this type of game are also the same people who pitched a tantrum about the fact that they're re-releasing it so soon.
Yeah.
So those people probably didn't pre-order it, and they went and picked it up day one, and so they probably couldn't predict how many people were going to buy it because there weren't enough pre-orders. I didn't pre-order it.
You know what's really crappy that I found out?
No, I didn't. I think I actually, as douchey as Capcom generally is, I understand why they did this one, so I gave them a free pass.
Okay. Sage.
Well, I found out that GameStop will let you, okay, you can go in on the day that the game is coming out, like if they're doing a midnight release, and you can still do a pre-order. But GameStop will only have been sent as many copies, especially if it's like PC and you're not getting, you know, they always get a few extra like Xbox and PlayStation 3, but not so much PC. So if four people do pre-orders, they'll get sent four and exactly four copies of, say, Skyrim. Just to use the name, I'm not going to talk about it. And if you go in on the day that it's coming out and you say, hey, I want to pre-order this, they'll put your name in, and then whoever gets there first of the people who pre-ordered gets the game. So literally,
you went to a douchey game. It's actually a corporate policy. They're not allowed to take pre-orders to 48 hours before release.
Yeah, but they do. Like, cause
I know. That's what I'm saying. You're going to a douchey GameStop then, because they're really not supposed to do that.
I mean, I guess it was nice for us because they did it, but I was like, isn't that going to screw? He was doing this for my friend, and I was like, isn't that going to screw someone else over? And he's like, they might not show up. And I was like, who the fuck would pre-order Skyrim and not show up? Like, really?
I did that with Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter Tri. I pre-ordered it because if you pre-ordered it, you got the free demo. Mm-hmm. And then I got it in for review. So
I don't understand. You're running a business. You know people are going to come in off the street. You have four pre-orders. Hey, I'm thinking, why don't I get at least six, maybe eight?
Consoles, not for PCs, because they don't know they're going to sell PC stuff. They've come out and said that they are trying to make PC purchasing a worse experience at GameStop.
But they're so fucking stupid because so many people do actually play PC. And like, they're not going to talk a PC owner into buying a 360 by making the game less of it. You know what I mean? They're not going to be like, oh, well, I guess I'll buy a 360 because you guys don't have it on PC. They'll just be like, fuck you, GameStop, and leave. So it's really stupid on their part all the way around. I don't know. I was
Have you ever tried pre-ordering online?
From GameStop?
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
But the thing about PC is that they sell so few PC games that the space that it takes up in the store... Right. To hold
some
the
stores
PC
don't
games.
Even have PCs. PC
yeah,
games.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. It's just the space it takes to put that product on the floor is actually worth more than they'll make off of it.
Yeah. I would just suggest not buying PC games probably from GameStop and going to a Best Buy or other type of store.
I would suggest that if you're going to pre-order a game, you do it off of Amazon and not GameStop, because apparently they'll just give your copy away. I'd be pissed if I showed up and they're like, oh, we gave all our copies away. I'd be like, what? And I'd flip the counter over and be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Flip the counter. Wow.
Unbelievable.
I actually pre-ordered, they did that to me. Actually, Super Mario Galaxy. No, not Galaxy. Sunshine. Hmm. They did that to me. They screwed me over. That was years ago, so I won't hold it against them.
I was told they were going to do that for Valkyria Chronicles when I pre-ordered it, because I was literally the only person who pre-ordered that at my GameStop.
Right.
But a whole bunch of people had expressed interest in it the day before. Mm-hmm. And that was a weird game, because it was a Wednesday release. So they got it on Tuesday, but for whatever reason, they weren't allowed to sell it until Wednesday. So I showed up on Tuesday when their shipment showed up, watched them take it out of the box, said, that is mine, and they said, you cannot have this. And I was like, this is bullshit. I want that.
But you worked there and you had ordered
it. No, I didn't work there. I didn't work there.
You just hung out there.
I really wanted Valkyria Chronicles way bad when it came out.
Now I understand.
I can just imagine Sean in the store, like, acting like he's browsing, waiting for the UPS guy. I know.
That's basically how it was.
That's
that
mine,
was pretty...
you son of a bitch.
Sean, if it had been me, I would have just grabbed it and run. I mean, just grab it and leave.
Pay for this. Goodbye.
Bye. You have my money. Fuck off.
Yeah, then you get outside and realize it's a gut. Nothing's in there.
Oh, except the manual.
No, because they were taking it out of the box. It was still in there. Anyway, Blue, tell us what you have not been playing, because you have not been playing Skyrim.
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a light week as far as play goes. I mean, I've been playing Kirby's Dream Course. There we go. Because that's going to be my next classic column. And basically, that game is fucking awesome. And if you haven't bought it on the Wii Virtual Console, what the fuck are you waiting for? I mean, seriously, are you serious, bro? The other thing I've been...
Are people excused if they have a SNES hooked up to their TV? Are they off?
They have to at least, like go check out like a couple of thrift stores nearby just to make sure that it they don't there isn't a copy there. If they have it on the SNES and thrift store has a copy of it, they are obligated to buy it.
Okay,
because you heard it here. Is fucking awesome.
Is it, do you think it's better as a multiplayer or a single player game?
If you have the right, if you have two people who really know what they're doing with that game, oh, that is a lot of fun, because it's not just a game of getting the ball in the hole. It's like you can use all the power, put it in. It's not just a game about getting the ball in the hole. It's you can turn it into a offensive competitive game,
sure.
Because with the fireball powers or the spark powers or whatever,
right.
Those can be used as offensive weapons against the other player's Kirby, and
it's Worms Crazy Golf,
but in 3D.
I might need to check it out in that case.
No, they're very different games. I mean, check it out, but you will be super disappointed if you go in expecting Kirby's Dream Course.
I like hearing y'all's discussion about that, by the way.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, people did. That was good.
But yeah, I mean, I've been looking for eons, and I've never seen anything quite like it. It's one of those unique Super Nintendo games that is, I guess you'd almost say it's kind of like ActRaiser. It's like a game that really hasn't the style hasn't been recreated for in the modern in the modern era, at least as far as I can tell. It's a completely unique game of golf. I love it, love it, love it.
I wouldn't even call it golf anymore. It's something else.
It's a golf-like substance.
Right. Yes. It's like KFC. We can't call it chicken.
Oh, gross.
What?
It's true. That's why they changed their name to KFC.
Oh, I know, but that's why I don't want to hear about it, because that's disgusting. Don't mention that.
You just ate a big, greasy bucket of chicken before
this. Oh, Jesus, no.
I had KFC a couple of days ago. It was really good. I'm sorry. Oh, I know it's probably disgusting, but it's really good.
Hey, in their defense, they do use chicken now, which is why they're allowed to call it Kentucky Fried Chicken again.
Okay, anyway. Since we're talking about food.
Food and toys.
should we talk about Skyrim? Have we reached that moment?
Yeah, okay, so let me bring in Skyrim here. So if you've listened to any podcast this week, you're probably so sick and tired of Skyrim. But
and
the cool thing
not...
about Skyrim is I have listened to like 8 different podcasts, and they all have different stories because it's such a big and vast, expansive universe. Like, I talked to Sage on the phone the other day, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're playing Skyrim? I'm playing Skyrim. She's like, yeah, I'm trying not to do X, Y, and Z because so-and-so was playing and turned into a werewolf. And I was like, what? You can turn into a werewolf? That's crazy. And I'm like 35 hours in the game. I did not even know that was a possibility, a thing that could happen in Skyrim. So,
there really is a lot of variability. I'm pretty blown away by that.
Yeah. So in the interest of brevity, but still getting stories in, what we're going to do is, I called it the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of us that played it, you're going to introduce your character, tell us how your build works, tell us one kind of cool in-game story, and then a bad one, and then a funny bug, because that's what the game's all about. It's their cool stories, their shit stories, and then there are fucked up bugs. The game is full of fucked up bugs. Well, but we'll start
can
with...
I kick it off?
Yes.
Okay. So, why it's fresh in my mind, my character, he's a dark elf, kind of stealthy master archer, just a mean son of a bitch. I think I get the 30 boost on the dagger kills. I'll jump right in. I'm at a college, Winterhold, I guess, in the courtyard, putting in my time, getting my edumacation. When I exit and I see a dragon just lounging around outside, it immediately starts attacking me, and I lay into it. All kinds of mages start attacking. They're summoning creatures. There's fireballs. I mean, the screen is just awash in destruction. There's As we whittle down the dragon's health, we close in on the meter, and my resources are depleted. I just go in and I kill the thing with a one-handed sword. I'm rewarded with the slow motion finisher animation, and nice. Now yeah, the damn carcass is still there. It's like a monument to both brotherhood and badassery, and. Nice. Yeah, I love it every time I go. My other story, I was going to share it with Sage before the show. I started on this pretty long quest, and I was rewarded with a horse. And probably about 3 minutes later, a dragon started fucking with me. The mare, fought the dragon and ended up getting burned to a crisp. And now, in her honor, I either walk or fast travel everywhere. So no more horses for me because she went out like a soldier.
Yeah, see, I swim everywhere, so I don't need horses.
Yeah. I tried doing that. Have you ever tried swimming when there's a dragon attack and the fire goes through the water?
Oh, see, here's the thing, is that if you're an Argonian, mm-hmm. which I am, the lizard people, they can breathe underwater, and if you swim deep enough, the fire can't hit you through the water.
Okay, lizard.
It's super boring under there.
my favorite glitch. Let me just say that is, I was screwing around with like an NPC and a giant came, and we were going back and forth, and the giant clubbed the person, and they went in the air. Probably, I'm guessing an estimated like 800.
Yeah, that's apparently a regular thing. Like that attack will 100% of the time do that, which is crazy.
They fly up to like the clouds. They get clubbed and they're just gone.
Oh, when you get hit by a giant?
No, yeah. when anybody
gets hit.
When you do, it shows your character. But when you're looking at an NPC, they just get launched like a baseball. And then, this one lady was kind of annoying me. She got kicked it all the way into the mountains. I was like,
on bugs real quick, I just want to say that, so you told us last week about the bug at the very beginning of the game where the cart got stuck.
Yep.
And you had to start over. Apparently that's a pretty regular bug.
Okay.
And that really upsets me because I know there's open world. I know there's open world jank, and that's the big excuse for why shit like that happens in these games. Oh, it's hard to test things. Mm-hmm. But everything in the main storyline should be tested. Yeah, it should be super tested. Well, not scripted, just that's what the QA guys should be focused on.
No, but that particular moment, you're not doing anything. All you can do is look left, look right, look up and down. And there's really no reason, because you're not doing anything, there's not a lot of code working there.
Even so, how do the QA testers not go through that enough times, that happened enough times to say, hey, something is wrong here, maybe you should fix the scripting of this event?
I think it was the door didn't open.
Yeah, I mean, but that's something that should work every time.
Yeah, I mean, there should be a way to code it so that that's not ever a problem. Like, I feel like that would make sense.
No.
Yeah.
I think about all the little areas where, I don't know, I'm running, I got my stealthy guy. Actually, I created two characters, but my stealthy guy, he'll run in darkness somewhere, and even though, I've upped and I can see in the dark, I'll get stuck in a piece of the environment. And sometimes, I don't know, they probably don't plan on me locating different, little alcoves and
yeah, but see, that's open world jank. Where I was going with this is, okay, for things like that, that's cool in Skyrim and in Fallout. Okay, that makes sense to have open world jank. We can accept that. But when you have moments like that in the beginning of the game, when you have games like Rogue Warrior and Wet that aren't open world and they're just garbage because nobody tested them, I really wonder if they even have
Wet. Why are you lumping Wet in this?
Because Wet was buggy. Why you gotta shit. Lump
Wet was shit.
It was buggy.
I finished the whole thing. I didn't encounter a single bug.
Seriously? You didn't have really? I can't
Wait,
get
you
up
guys,
out of...
Are you guys playing on different systems or same system?
I played Wet on PS3.
Yeah, I played on PS3 too. But I constantly had the getting stuck on walls or dying for no reason, or I would do the slide across the floor and I couldn't get back up. Like, constantly.
Hmm. No.
And then Rogue Warrior was just a mess.
Yeah.
And it's
okay.
Just really
I'm
if
not
they
gonna
have
stick
a
my
QA
dick
department.
Up Rogue Warrior. That was a mess. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Bethesda, get your shit together.
You know, I think I've observed that more and more things are getting buggy in Bethesda stuff as it goes, and I think that possibly, like, part of why that's happening is because they're expanding at a rate that's, like, really cool, and they're involving all this different, like, interaction with the environment, super awesome, looks really gorgeous. But I think that as the world gets bigger and bigger, it obviously gets a lot harder to test it for all these things. I mean, there are
That's what I mean by open world jank, though. Like, the things that you can say, okay, they didn't test this because they didn't expect you to do it kind of thing, okay, that makes sense in such a big project. But the things that they know you're going to do,
but
there's no excuse.
Yeah, but you know what? In Skyrim's defense, some of those dungeons and some of those areas where you just explore, they're so well designed. You know, like the puzzles and the architecture, and they're just, I mean, there's so many of them, and they're really fascinating just to look at and explore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they spent a hell of a lot of time doing that, and I'm not giving them an out for any bugs, but, you know, after the initial, you know, jankiness and glitchiness, you know, at the beginning of the game, I really haven't experienced anything beyond some freezes and things like that. And,
you know, they haven't had any bugs.
And one of the things I've heard is the PS3 version is a little worse off than the 360, and they do have
I've heard they're comparable, but I haven't had.
Eurogamer did a report on just the visual quality, and they said, you know, it's kind of night and day.
Oh, really? Yeah. IGN said the exact opposite, but you know,
I'll trust Eurogamer.
I don't really trust either one of them, as far as I can tell.
You don't trust Eurogamer?
Not really, but I actually I've been playing on the PS3 and I think it's fine, and it doesn't have the graphical glitch that the 360 version has. So,
I haven't had any. I'm on the PC, so that's good. We have each system represented, and I haven't encountered any, like, glitch problems. The one thing that has happened the entire time I've played is that my companion decided to hang out in a hallway and wouldn't follow me. And I don't know if she, like, thought she needed to go aggro on someone or what, but I, like, left, and I, like, even went back once and told her wait and then follow me, thinking maybe I could reset her. I saved and, like, reloaded, and she'd be like, okay, I'm following you, and then she'd, like, walk into the wall and just not come at me. But other than that, I mean, she reloaded fine when I went through, like, an actual loading door. So, but other than that, I haven't had any. My brother's playing on the 360, and he's had a lot of graphic glitches. Like, he, like, disappeared the bottom half of the world at some point, so, like, he was in a city, and the top parts of buildings were there, but all of the bottom parts were gone.
I have a friend. He got married in the game. Don't know why. And now his
wife... I didn't even know you could get married in the game.
Yeah. His wife is just this catatonic mess now.
That's funny.
What? Why?
I don't know. Some glitch. She just looks at the wall all day.
Oh, that's so sad.
Is that a glitch, or is he a terrible, terrible husband?
Yeah, maybe.
She's weeping.
So euthanizer.
So, Sage, since you told us your glitch, tell us about your character and a good and bad story.
My character is an Imperial. Mm. She's a chick, which is unusual for me because usually I play dudes. This is the first and only character where I've ever actually really liked how it looked, actually. Like, even Fallout, the more recent ones, it was like, nah, they all kind of look the same and ugly and sort of, like, blah-faced.
Yeah, Fallout character creator wasn't nearly as good.
No, and this one is, like, incredible. Like, even the presets are, like, really decent. Like, I was going through them, and I was like, actually, I probably wouldn't change these that much. They're really good.
Yeah.
And she's hot. She's super hottie, evil body.
You know what? They took a lot of the dumb shit out, like the signs and...
Yeah.
All the needless stuff that you really didn't know at the time.
But the war paint is really later. Cool, actually. Like, yeah. I really like the war paint option.
Yep. My guy looks like Kratos a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I've got some subtle. I've got the one that's like the two little red stripes that come down from the corners of your eyes, and then you've got the one that comes down the middle of your chin.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. Anyway, I never really do like a type of character. Like, that's not, like, Deagle asked me before the show. He's like, oh, are you a thief? And I was like, no, but I would steal a horse, because I was talking about, like, stealing somebody's horse.
And you,
like,
are a thief.
I'm not, well, but I'm not into being like, I am this type of character, and I, like, it's not a D&D thing for me. Like, if I want to play D&D, I play D&D. So, what I've ended up specializing in, just as I've been playing along, is I've done a lot of alchemy, because I pick up shit everywhere, so I just, like, I do it. So I'm at, like, level 30 alchemy or something crazy, because I just keep doing it all the time. I do a lot of dual wield. Occasionally I do a two-handed huge battle axe. And I wear heavy armor that I make myself. And and I'm a BAMF, and I just took on a whole bunch of vampires, and I did okay. So I'm pretty okay. And what I really like about being an Imperial is that one of your natural abilities is Voice of the Emperor, mm-hmm. which calms anything around you for 60 seconds. But it also works on monsters. And this is my brother's funny story, but I'll tell it because it's much better than any stories I have, and it's still a good story. So he got into a room with, you know, a dragon word on the wall, but he had just fought a dragon outside. So he's, like, totally tapped out. He gets into the room. He gets up to the wall. He's about to get the word, and then this giant, shout. Like... What?
Shout.
Yeah. What did I say? Oh, yeah, what? He's about to get the dragon shout, and this giant, names of things I'm terrible at, this giant, you know, priest comes up and is, like, just raping him, and he has no health as it is. So he used Voice of the Emperor, and the priest that was like, was just like, oh, do-do-do-do, and, like, walked away from him and was totally peaceful, so he's like, sweet. So he pulled the word off the wall, the shout, and he, like, starts running for the door, and the priest starts coming after him again, and he's like, balls. Wow. So he runs through the door, and it's at the edge of a cliff. But he was like, fuck it. So he jumps off the cliff. And then I guess he had like a potion of ethereal power or whatever. So he takes it right before he hits the ground. And so he didn't take any damage from the fall. And then he just walked away like, doo, 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 doo.
Wow. That's pretty epic.
I've become a master of jumping off cliffs because I figured out that if you jump off cliffs and then run diagonally towards the camera in third person, there's always something for your feet to grab onto just before you die.
Not true. Not true. I tried that today and I totally died.
I am a master of it.
Well, fuck your face.
Yeah, whenever I go up on top of a tall mountain, as soon as I come there, I jump off.
It's like a new sport. It's like an extreme sport for Sean, yeah. You're going to level up your extreme wall sliding or hill sliding.
Yep. It's always easier down than getting up.
And then, bad story. Oh my god, bad story is that there's like 30 cop cars outside my house. I hope they're not coming for me. That would be a really bad story.
We'll boost the ratings though.
I don't have a bad story. I had a comment I wanted to make about immersion, but I don't wanna screw up your plan, Sean, so I can save it.
Go for it.
Well, I just thought like what was impressing me about Skyrim so much was that it feels like such an immersive game, and it's one of the first games, and not to make it sound shallow, but it's one of the first games I've played that's really visually immersive, because I don't know, immersion's a big thing for me, and everything from like the character creation to the fact that people don't look all derpy to the fact that like the dragons all look really epically cool, like it's a really visually immersive game, plus it has all of the elements that like, you know, other games have that maybe they're immersive in one area. Like, you know, Amnesia, the controls aren't great and the monsters are sort of weird sometimes when you encounter them, but it's really, you know, vibe, mood, immersive, or Portal is really like sound and a vibe immersive, but like the, you know, it's not always super visually stimulating, but Skyrim like is really pretty immersive in basically every area. I mean, fast traveling takes you out of it a little bit, but I'm fine with that because I hate running around. But everything about it, like the mood, the way people talk, I mean, I think it's a super immersive game. I'm really proud of them. It's like,
yeah, you know what Skyrim does right is that, and this is why I feel really bad for anybody who installed it on a 360, but everything is consistent visually. Like there, it's not like most games where the things you interact with are a little bit more detailed than everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's that they made everything consistent. So nothing is super hyper realistic. Oh my god, that's incredibly detailed. Everything is the same level of detail. So everything fits together. Everything looks like it belongs. And you don't see hardly any games that do that. And it's really smart. But I mean, a lot of times people want to show that they can flex their graphical muscle. You know, like first-person shooters are really guilty about that your gun or any gun you can pick up is always really detailed.
Mm-hmm. Right, and everything else is shit.
I always thought it was because they had different artists. They had different, you know, people on the art team, and so there wasn't that visual consistency.
Well, that's true, but it's also because you put the best artists on the most detailed things, and you don't have a design document that says, hey, don't do this shit.
Right.
And if you have good art direction, you can do that, and it's just not a lot of games do. I mean, even games that we talk about having great art direction don't. I mean, look at Metal Gear Solid. Look how much more detailed Snake is than anything else in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
Like, I went back and played Metal Gear Solid 2 because I did not buy the Collector's Edition because I bought Skyrim instead. But it is true. Like, he almost looks out of place in that game.
Right. There is a little bit lacking, I think. I mean, the only area that I don't feel like, wow, they did this the best is some of the NPC interactions are, and it's not that they're buggy, but they're just sort of not, they don't ever evolve. Like, Knights of the Old Republic, I think, is my favorite game for that. Mm-hmm. Maybe some Mass Effect, where, like, there's really evolving dialogue that goes on, even between you and, like, whoever is, in that moment at least, an NPC character. Right. And
You feel the progression of a relationship, whereas this one, it's a little...
Or even, like, they're paying attention to you at all. And some of the characters in Skyrim are definitely like, nah, I don't
But some do, though.
Some of them do, for sure.
I think it's funny that all the NPCs, they'll have different voice actors, but they'll all have the exact same lines. So it's almost like they brought a bunch of people in to try out for a role, and then they recorded it and just threw it in the game.
Totally. What's really funny actually is there's two voice actors in there who I recognize from like cartoons and stuff. And I thought it was interesting that they put them in there and didn't have them alter their voices at all, especially because they don't sound Nordic at all. Like I went to the river wherever village and the one of them, he's like sort of got a high pitched nasally voice. And in this, I think he's the elf and he's like telling his mom to shut up about the dragon because she's full of shit before he like hears from you that there's a dragon. And he's definitely from and he doesn't sound Nordic and everybody else in that village has like the Nordski accent. And like he just sounds like this whiner from whatever cartoon he's on TV. And I was like, shouldn't you change your voice a little, just a little, if you're going to do a themed game?
That's a hard thing though. Once you're a voice actor and you've been on something really recognizable, is that it kind of kills every character you're gonna be after that.
I guess, but I'm saying he didn't even try. Like this is the same voice. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't at least attempt to make it a little more fit to what's going on.
Yerp.
But anyway, so that's my substitute for stories. So I don't have any good stories.
All right. Well, I got tons of good stories because I made a lizard guy and he's fucking awesome. He's a lizard and he can breathe underwater and he regenerates health. So why you would pick anything but him is beyond me.
It does sound pretty cool.
It is pretty cool because there are so many dungeons that have deep water in them. Yeah. And if you get your ass kicked by something, you can just jump in and run away. My thing about that game is that the combat is terrible. And so it is genuinely terrible because when you hit something, you don't know you hit it. They did not think about,
not if you're an archer.
Axe, it should make, well, yeah, if you're an archer, but if you hit something with an axe, it does not make a whack noise. If you hit something with magic, unless it's like a bolt sort of thing and it sticks through them, you know you hit them then. But if it's like your little flamethrower magic, you don't know if you're hitting them. You just got to kind of watch their health and hope it depletes, but then you're not looking at the action. So...
One of the things I thought was, could you imagine Skyrim being played with the PlayStation Move?
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really.
Could you imagine Skyrim? So one of our readers asked me why I wasn't excited about it because they said it was like Monster Hunter on steroids, and it got me thinking. Can you imagine this with like really thought-provoking combat where every enemy and encounter kind of mattered instead of most of the enemies just being like, run up, press the attack button a couple times, and then he'll fall over because you have a big ass axe and nothing can stand up against it. That's what I do. I smith all day until I can get a dwarven axe, and then
see you're so playing far. It like Monster Hunter.
I just
that's
skip
your problem.
All day.
Whatever. Like, so smith
all
here,
day, all day one, smithing 24.
Here's one story. So I the first dragon I fought, I figured out I don't know if it's an exploit or if it's just mine, because everybody else I've talked about that this doesn't work for them. But if you walk up to one side of the dragon once he lands, he'll basically ignore you.
Yeah, that is true.
Blindside.
Yeah, and so you know, he'll run around, he'll blow fire at me, whatever. I cast heal, so it doesn't bother me. He'll land, I go up, I chop his wing like 6 times, and he dies. Not epic at all. I don't understand what everybody says so epic about these dragons.
What? What fucking apps do you have, man? Because I definitely have
been
to
smithing
wax
all day. If you smith 24/7, you're gonna have the world's badass axe because you're a lizard man, and all you do is work the grindstone
and live underwater.
But I use the one you get in Whiterun for finishing that first dungeon. I use that for the longest time.
Wait, actually, but what is yours? Because that's a different axe every time.
Oh, is it? It's a steel axe of sapping, I think. So basically, it attacks their stamina and their health.
Oh, well, fuck you, man. It's because you've got a really good axe. Like, not everybody has the same axe.
Anyway, so I did that, and then finally I got to a blood dragon. And different. It's the same thing, except I wasn't doing any damage to it. And I guess dragons have one attack that they'll use, like, 1 in 100 times, that it's an instant kill attack to everything around it. And he did that the first time I saw him. I'm like, what the fuck, blood dragon? And it auto saves in the middle of that fight, so I'm stuck having to fight it. So I text Rob, and Rob texts me back with, you know, like a legit strategy. You know, you gotta find cover,
hide under the rocks,
NPCs
fucker.
With you. And but by the time I had gotten that, I had already escaped, smithed a new axe, went back and killed him in like 6 hits. So it's like, there's no strategy to this. I just needed a better weapon. But that's been my experience with it. I really enjoy it. I played
it. Grind your axe, but did you grind a lot before you took on the dragons? Did you do a lot of side quests? Because that axe sounds just kick ass.
It's the axe you win. You win an axe when you do the white room thing.
At the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
That axe. And that's the one that wasn't working very well. So then I made my dwarven axe, which. Okay. Right now kicks all kinds of ass.
Oh, you are smithing all day if you made a dwarven axe already. Shit.
I'm actually, so I haven't played since Monday because I took the day off of work on Monday and then I played it all day. And I was carrying around all these dragon scales and dragon bones, which are heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
But I haven't bought a house. So what I did was, when I killed a dragon and I was over encumbered, I put all the scales and bones back in his carcass and just used him as storage.
What?
You're gonna get ripped off.
Now I'm terrified he's not gonna be there next time I turn.
Yeah, I think looters are gonna come and steal you.
I know on the 360 you can, because Winston, my brother, he found a barrel in the middle of Whiterun, and he was like, "Fuck it, I'll just put some shit in here, and if it's gone, it's gone." And it's never disappeared. So he now has a barrel in the middle of Whiterun that's like full.
Before,
of like 50,000 items.
Before I knew you could buy houses and stuff, I stashed some stuff in a house and I got ripped off. I got ripped off blind.
Well, you put it in someone else's house, dude.
No one was around. Maybe I killed them all.
See, if you don't want to buy a house, I found out the best place to stash stuff is
water.
No, in Riverwood or whatever. When you find that, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a room that you'll eventually find in the story part. And eventually the person in that room will go off and do something else for the rest of the game, I guess. Mm-hmm. But since you befriend her, you can use her chest and nothing will ever get stolen.
Can you not put it in, if you end up there and you end up staying in someone's house, can you not put it in their house?
If they're friends, you can, as long as it doesn't have the steel icon on that chest, you can store shit in there and it will never leave.
And they won't take it.
Yeah, they won't take it. So you have to befriend somebody. And that's
you can also use your companion as a pack mule, and I think your companion can never die.
I that might be true. Well, I think it depends on your companion.
They stop fighting. Oh, maybe. Mine stops fighting sometimes if she gets overwhelmed and like cowers down on the ground. Actually, that is a good story. The way I got my companion, I met this tough-talking bitch in a bar, and she was like, "I fight anyone. I could fight you." And I was like, "Fine, I'll fight you." And I beat her up really bad, like it was a fist fight, and I totally wailed her ass. And she was like, "Man, you beat me at punching stuff. I will follow you anywhere."
Yeah, there's a guy like that in this one town. And he was really cool, and he wanted to do the same thing. But I was worried because there were guards everywhere that we would get in trouble. And so I just let him go. And then literally like 10 minutes later, I found these gloves that are like plus 15 to your unarmed combat rating. And I was man, I wish I had these like 10 minutes ago.
Go find him again. Go find him.
Yeah. But so my good story is smithing a big axe in the time that it took Deagle to respond to my text message. And
wait, was it that long?
Fuck Deagle's plan, I'll just smith an axe.
Yeah. My bad story, though, is there's this one mission. You have to infiltrate this party. I don't remember if this is a story mission or not, but I'll spare the details just in case. But you have to infiltrate this party as like a party goer. And before the party, you have to give whatever items you want to take on this mission to this guy, and he'll let you in the back room. And then you have to go steal some stuff and get out of the building. But you can't go. You can't leave the way you came because there's still that party going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go in, and there's like there was no chance for me to be stealthy about it. So I kill the three guys that are out there, and then I leave the back door, and there's a courtyard, right? So it's basically there's one building and then another building behind it where the stuff is actually you're actually stealing stuff from. So you're outside for a little bit. And so then I go into the other building. I steal the stuff. And my first instinct is go back out to that courtyard, hop the fence, right?
Mm-hmm.
It won't let you hop the fence. And I was like, this is bullshit. There are breaks in the fence that I should be able to fit through, and I can't get through those either. I can't hop on top of the building to get out either. So what they want you to do is there's you go back to where you stole the stuff, and then you can find a dungeon, and then in the dungeon there's a trap door, and to open the trap door you can't pick the lock. You have to steal a key from one of the guards in the dungeon. And at this point my stealth is garbage because I'm a warrior. I don't sneak. Whatever.
Oh, I sneak.
But it's these four guys who they're like the gambit of guards, right? They've got like two magic users, an archer, and like a guy with a heavy sword, the broadsword. And they're just kicking my ass, like no chance to get through. Like you walk in the door, they see you, and then they gang up on you and beat you up. And it saves right there at that door you open. So it's like,
oh, no.
You're on one side of the door, you can't escape, basically, and then you have to go through and get beat up by these guys. So what I did was I walked in the door, and every once in a while, one of the guys would be right in front of the door instead of downstairs, because there's a couple seconds where it takes everybody to get upstairs. So I'd walk in, I would kill that guy, and it was a different guy every time, so maybe like one in five times there was a guy there, and then maybe there's a 1 in 4 chance it was a guy with the key. So I'd kill him, go through his stuff. If it wasn't the key, I'd reload. Then I would just keep doing that until I got the guy with the key. Then I just ran by the other guys to the trap door. They followed me. By grace of God, there was a frost troll on the other side of that door. And I just let him go on him.
Jesus. That's when it's good to have a potion of invisibility on you.
Well, no, see, I have the shout of invisibility, which is completely worthless because as soon as you shout, everybody knows where you are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it doesn't work?
Yeah. Like, even if you shout from the other room, they still, you'll walk into that room detected.
Oh, that's lame. Yeah. I think that's one of the benefits. Like, my sneak skill is really high, but there's some areas you're never going to be able to sneak around. But the benefit I've discovered of alchemy is you're never losing anything. Like, we're unlike blacksmithing, like, you're sort of losing out on money. Like, alchemy, you're just picking up fucking plants off the ground. They don't weigh anything, yeah. So you can carry a ton. Yeah. And, like, I think in my inventory I have 45 to 50 potions. And not because I need or want them, but because I alchemy them all. But what's cool about that is all the time I'll just, like, because it's all these different poisons and shit that I would never even think of to buy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I have all these, like, really random awesome poisons that I just put all over my blades so that when I come into a room with a bunch of guys, I'm like, okay, sweet. So I just put poison on everything, and I pull, like, one blade out after another and just, like, hit everybody with a bunch of different poisons.
So that's actually a good segue, because my glitch has to do with alchemy and house buying. Mm. So I have this problem in this game that the way that the stereo sound works is that it's based on where your head is, not what you're looking at.
Right.
So if you're talking to somebody and it locks your view in place, if somebody comes up to your left or to your right, like an NPC, and just starts one of their random ass conversations, that will come in 100% on one of your speakers, and you can't hear what's going on in front of you.
Mm.
And so when I went in my first alchemist shop, somebody followed me in there, and you do that thing where she's like, oh, well, you know, try using your alchemy thing. And she gives you the recipe for Potion of Minor Healing, but she doesn't hand it to you. She actually says, oh, if you mix this and this, it'll give you a Potion of Minor Healing. dude walks up to me while she's talking and starts blah 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 blah, and I didn't know what it was, and she will never repeat that. I tried everything to get her to repeat that, and she would not say it. So it took me forever, because it never tells you that you can eat the stuff to find out the what they're good for.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until like I was 10 or 15 hours into the game when during a load scene it says eat ingredients to find out what different things they can be good for, and I was like, oh well, now I'll be an alchemist now that I've ignored it for the entire game because the only thing I want to make is healing potions.
Right. That's cool though. I didn't know you could do that either. I just figured it out by doing alchemy. I didn't realize you could eat shit.
Yeah, you can. If you eat something, it will tell you one of the four things it's good for. And it also levels up your alchemy that way, so you can actually just level up your alchemy by eating stuff that you find.
Really?
Yeah, you can totally grind alchemy by picking flowers and eating them.
That seems a little lame. Like, that's too easy that you can just pick shit up and eat it and your alchemy points will go up. Like, how is that reasonable?
You're learning by eating. But that happened again in Whiterun, where when you become a Thane and he tells you how to buy a house. Mm-hmm. So I still, to this very day, don't know who I'm supposed to talk to buy a house.
Oh, you talk to his, what's it called, advisor, I forget the name they have, steward, the steward. The guy with the weird name, it's like I'm a big douche canoe name, it's like Archie Reginald's Philippe Nino or something weird.
I'll try that, because I want to buy a house, but I have no idea how to do it, because...
It's 5,000 gold, and you know what else is bullshit? You can talk to him about buying a house before you become the Thane, and it's 5,000 gold. So then when I became the Thane, I was like, cool, they must have lowered the price because I'm the motherfucking Thane. Nope, it's still 5,000 gold. Ridiculous.
Well, I have way more than 5,000 gold, because I am a master smither, and I sell shit.
Man, fuck you and your smithing.
This little businessman enterprise. Yep.
And I don't fast travel anywhere because I can swim underwater for as long as I want, and I can get everywhere like that.
Screw you, lizard man.
So is everywhere on the map connected by water?
I mean, pretty much. There's a big upside-down crescent-shaped river, and then it kind of goes off in different directions. And, I mean, the thing that sucks is every once in a while you'll come across a school of piranha, and they'll fuck you up because there's nothing you can do when you're underwater. But, I don't know. Like, if I don't want to be bothered by, man. If I don't want to be bothered by dragons, though, like I said, I can just swim deep enough that they can't hit me, and I can stay down there as long as I want because I can breathe down there.
That's so weird and awesome.
But other lizard men in that game that aren't me are total d-bags. I hate them.
So every lizard man in the world is a d-bag, but you.
Pretty much, and because I was totally every time I would find a lizard man, I would do whatever quest they wanted me to do, and it's always some go steal shit, and then I'm gonna stab you in the back because I'm a douchebag. Screw you, I'm a nice lizard man. But anyway, so that's as much Skyrim talk as I think people are going to handle.
Yeah.
I don't even think the blue is there anymore.
Yeah, and maybe a bit more.
Yeah. Sweet. That game is good, even though parts of that game are really stupid and really bad. But like I said, I played it for 3 days without stopping and took off of work to continue playing it. So,
oh, did you really?
I technically took off of work because... we had some people trying to come and fix our bathroom.
Uh-huh.
While I was waiting for them, of course, I played.
Uh-huh. What'd you do to it, Sean?
I didn't do anything to it. The people upstairs had a leak, and then to fix the leak, they ripped a hole in my ceiling and left it that way for 2 weeks.
Wait, what? How does that even make sense?
That's the plumbing. They have a bathroom over my bathroom. But yeah, they just left it there, and so it was all this tracking them down and getting them to fix stuff.
That's terrible.
And the best part
just let it fill up with water because that's what lizard man likes.
Yeah, but the best part is they didn't even fix the leak, so I can already tell that it's doing more water damage up there. I was like, great, I'm going to have to go through all this all over again. Yeah. But anyway, we are pressed for time, so let's get this interview going. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Interview.
Hey guys, Desert Eagle here, live at the Los Angeles Auto Show with Mabel Chung and Nintendo. Welcome to the show, Mabel.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Now, Nintendo just announced a collaboration with West Coast Customs. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So we're actually here at the LA Auto Show, and we are unveiling two Mario Karts that we have in celebration of the launch of Mario Kart 7. which is coming out on December 4th. So we teamed up with West Coast Customs and Ryan Friedlinghaus. And you can see that we have a standard cart with Mario's colors on it. And then we also have this really awesome Bumblebee cart with Luigi's colors on it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. Do I get to hop in and take one for a spin?
You can totally hop in and take pictures. I don't know about taking for a spin, but... We haven't seen your driving credentials, so.
That's right. If you saw my record, you probably wouldn't let me. Now, many of our readers and listeners are well acquainted with the Mario Kart series, having played iterations back from the SNES era. Now, with the seventh entry in the series, what can gamers expect from this entry?
So, just like with previous Mario Karts, you're racing against all the characters from the Mushroom Kingdom, which is awesome. You can be one of them. We also have new characters, and we have... sorry, I was like, wait. Can
we'll
I repeat?
Out. We'll okay. Out.
So, sorry, with so we're here for...
It's fine. I do it all the time. No worries at all. You should see how much we hit it out of the show.
I was like, wait, no, this is supposed to be a podcast. Okay. So for Mario Kart 7, which is great, again, you're racing with the Mushroom Kingdom characters like before, but we have a lot of awesome new content, actually. One of the biggest things is the fact that you can, as you can see here, you can drive, you can glide, and you can also dive. We have gliders and propellers that automatically come out of the carts, and you're not just racing on the ground, but you're also racing underwater and soaring through the skies. On top of it, something else that's really, really new is the fact that we have customizable carts. Before, when you used to play Mario Kart, you'd pick maybe Yoshi, who's a bit faster and smaller, and then if you're doing a battle, you might want to pick like Donkey Kong, who's like bigger and like he's not as speedy, but yep. He's definitely got more heft on the road. But now, you actually get to customize your carts. You get to choose the chassis type, you get to choose the type of tires that you want to use, and also the glider. And with that, you really affect the abilities of your cart. So it's not just who you choose to drive, but more so the cart parts that you put into your cart. And that's part of why we wanted to team up with West Coast Customs. You can see, like, these awesome sort of looking carts with, like, the Bumblebee, and, like, in the game as well, we have other things like E-Dasher, and you have, like, monster carts and things like that. So it's really fun and really cool to see.
How many of these kind of aftermarket additions to your car are there in the game?
So in terms of numbers, I can't really say, but we actually have a number of different chassis that you can use, a number of different tires, and then you also have some gliders. So with those, you can actually get, like, a lot of combinations going and mixing it up.
Awesome.
And so it can suit your driving style and also your personal style, depending on what you like.
Now, one thing I noticed was when I got a little hands-on demo about a month ago, Yoshi was a little bit more loquacious than he usually was. Is there a lot more vocal samples within the game? At least it seemed that way for me.
There's definitely, like, the voice samples in the game, but, like, if you're getting passed, or more likely, if you're passing people, then he's definitely going to make a little noise and let people know that he's on the road. So you'll definitely notice that more. If there's more interaction and stuff going on, you'll see more of that.
There seemed to be an injection of personality with each of the racers.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Definitely did.
Awesome,
Did. Now, one of the things, let's get into multiplayer a little bit, is Mario Kart's known for offering a really compelling multiplayer experience. Can you elaborate on some of those options?
So with the multiplayer, like before, we have you can play with your friends and you can play online, and we also have a new thing called communities. So what you can do is, if you want to play with your friends, you can be locally in a room together playing together, or you can also go through your friends list. Now with the Nintendo 3DS, all you have to do is partner up with each other once with your hardware, and then you can always race people on your friend list. So that makes it really easy.
So that means once you meet someone in person, kind of street pass, is that the way it works?
I don't know, once you trade friend codes with someone, you can do that in person, or you can also get their code, and then, like, you guys can add each other and be official friends and have your friend list. Then you can play Mario Kart or any other game together as well. And we also have online racing, so for that you get matchmaking. You have a VR virtual rating number. When you go online, you can actually play with people all around the world, just like you were able to before. But the thing that's really exciting is we have this new option called communities. And so with communities, we really wanted to take it beyond just your friends and really give you an experience that lasts beyond just doing an online match. So with the community, you can set up the type of race or the type of battle that you want to do. You can choose from different options, such as having like shells only or bombs only. And then you can also set all of this up. Anyone who has the code for your community can join, and you guys can just race together. If a bunch of you are in the room together, then they'll like put you guys into a racing room, you guys can play. You can always come back. Once you start a community, it'll be there, like a living thing, and anyone can go in and join in the race together. So it's pretty awesome.
You know, one of the things I always enjoyed about the original Mario Kart games, and I think the DS version had that as well, was the arena-based matches where you would take turtle shells and pop each other's balloons off the back. Will that be making an appearance?
So we definitely have both battle mode with the balloon battle and also the coin runners back. So with the balloon battle, there's a slight difference with this. You have three balloons as always, but you're not knocked out after you lose your three balloons. You actually get reset with another three balloons. And really what you're trying to do is knock out as many balloons as possible within the time limit. So even if you get hit right off the bat three times, you can come back and try to make a comeback. And then with coin runners, you're running around trying to get as many coins as you want while you're like throwing like Koopa shells and bananas at other people. So it's pretty fun.
Can we also play with our Miis?
Yes, that's a new thing. So we have new content on top of the customizable cards. We have new courses, new cards, new characters. You can have different characters that we haven't played before, and you can also play as your Mii character and race against each other. And then there's also Street Pass and Spot Pass. So with the Street Pass, what happens is that you can choose a race that you did really well in, put that as your Street Pass, and when you pass someone on the street and you trade that information, they can open it up and race against your ghost and race.
Okay. Any integration of play coins?
There's actually coins in this game as well. Okay. For those of you who might remember Super Mario Kart from the Super NES,
yes.
We actually have those back in.
Okay.
Every time you pick up a coin, you raise your top speed, and you can max out at 10 coins.
Mm-hmm.
But also while you're going along, all the coins that you pick up while you're gaming throughout the game, you'll actually use to unlock new kart parts, so then you'll have more customizable options.
Sounds very cool. Well, thank you so much, Mabel, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah.
One more time, when does this come out?
So this is Mario Kart 7, and it'll be out on December 4th.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yay. Wow, Mario Kart. That sounds like a really inventive new idea for a game.
Better than Rumors.
I can't wait to see all the new ideas that come out of that.
Yep.
Aww. Snarks. I think we've overloaded our SnarkCon.
Snark. Hey, speaking of Snark, don't we have some sort of question about Snark?
Snark is mentioned in one of the questions, but I want to know about this new innovative game called Trivia.
It's a game 4 can play, or at least three.
The thing that's going to kick Skyrim off of the top of the NPDs, or maybe Modern Warfare 3, whatever.
Yeah, I would say off of the second place
Blue,
in the NPDs.
Blue, if it sounded like you just fell asleep during Skyrim talk. Did I wake you up?
Yeah.
for trivia, damn it. Okay, number one. I hope your trays and portable screens are in their upright positions, because this week brings high-flying excitement to 3DS screens in the form of Ace Combat Assault Horizon Legacy. Which of the following statements is not true about the title, Flyboys? A. The Japanese version will support the Circle Pad Pro. B. The game is a remake of the first two Ace Combat titles. C. You can choose to fly sans wingman. Or D. The title allows players to give their aircraft custom paint jobs using over 275 shapes and brushes.
I'm going to say A is not true.
I'm going to go with Circle Pad support as well.
Okay.
I don't even know what the question was. It's fine. I'll just say B. Whatever, B.
Oh. Correct answer. That would be D. The title allows players to give their aircraft custom paint jobs.
What?
Crap.
Yes. Number two, I'm sorry, Kinect Disneyland Adventures patrons, but one of the following rides will be closed for maintenance, despite being nothing more than a half-assed motion-based simulation. So the lack of what attraction is going to make the kiddies cry like an ingrown toenail? Is it A, Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin? B, Pirates of the Caribbean? C, Buzz Lightyear's
That's it. It's got ass in it. It's got to be
Buzz Lightyear's ass.
No, Asteroid Blasters.
Buzz Lightyear Blasters or D Splash Mountain.
It's got to be Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I'd say Roger Rabbit, despite Deagle's screw up on the whole ass fiasco.
I'll go with the group on that one.
Wow, Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. How'd you know, Sean?
Because they had a hard enough time getting that ride in there with all the weird copyright shit surrounding Roger Rabbit.
You nailed it.
Roger Rabbit.
Kinect Disneyland Ventures developer Frontier Developments may be located 4,000 miles from a real Disneyland. Orlando has the Indiana Jones ride instead of that weak Parisian roller coaster. But they do have experience with theme parks. Which of the following titles did the studio not have a hand in? A. Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. B. Thrillville. C. Thrillville Off the Rails. D. Theme Park.
I'm going to say... I'm going to go with theme park.
I'm going to say off the rails.
Sage, I didn't hear you.
I said theme park.
Okay, same time. Correct answer, theme park.
Yay!
You threw me off by putting two from the same franchise in there.
I know how you
That's
think.
That's how you know it's not that one, Sean.
Yeah.
He knows that I know how he thinks, and he thinks that I know how he thinks, so he
Trivia
thinks.
Is a chess game.
It's a game of chess with real knights.
Yes. Number so four. If the recent PS1 import Vanguard Bandits doesn't ring any bells, developer Human might. They were responsible for all of the following games except A, Fire Pro Wrestling Combination Tag, B, The Adventures of Gilligan's Island, C, Target Earth, or D, Air Border 64.
Or E, that's not an import. It was published here by Working Designs. Ass.
Wow. Do you feel the animosity in the air tonight, boys and girls?
I love you, Deagle.
I never got a copy, so it's an import.
Well, I bought my copy on PSN last night, but that was one of those games that I saved up my money to go buy, and then they were out of stock.
Okay.
Wait, Deagle, did you just say that because you didn't get a copy, that makes it an import? Is that
correct?
What you said?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the world revolves around me.
Okay. Queer.
And Lizard Man.
Anyway, the answer is C.
It is.
I'll go with the group again.
Yeah, you better, Blue. Fire Pro Wrestling was developed by Human. Correct answer, C, Target Earth. Which was on the Genesis. And now I know Sean was a Genesis freak. That's all he played.
Genesis.
Secret British.
Number five.
What British?
Marketing for Need for Speed The Run advertises no speed limits, no rules, no allies. What other no did they conveniently leave out? A, no tuning customization. B, no product placement. C, no PlayStation 3 exclusive cars. Or D, no Porsches.
Product placement.
Porsches.
I'm going to say Porsches also.
Correct answer, no tuning customization.
You know what? That makes sense because you're stealing all the cars. Damn it.
Come on. You guys should have known that one. So add them all up. I think who's in the lead this week?
I think it was a tie.
It was a three-way.
It was a three-way. We had a three-way right here.
Wow.
Over the air.
And it ended in 2 minutes.
That was a really shit three-way.
Yeah, no kidding.
It wasn't as good for you as it was for me.
Somebody got scared is what happened.
Oh, but you know what's always good is mailbag. Especially.
Hey, yay.
Oh, sorry.
Right. I'm back with a bonus question this week. I didn't have one last week because I couldn't think of one quick enough. So I actually put the effort in and made one this week.
Right.
All right.
I was being serious.
What?
You said it was great.
No, hooray. I'm tired, man. It's been a long day.
Anyways, there is an electricity to the play that is nearly unmatched, is a quote on the back of the box from which one of these Dreamcast games? A, Jet Grind Radio. B, World Series Baseball 2K1. C, Rippin' Riders. Or D, Tokyo Extreme Racing 2.
Tokyo.
Same again. Pull a Sage.
Jet Grind Radio, World Series Baseball 2K1, Rippin' Riders, or Tokyo Extreme Racing 2.
In the play, I'm going to go with baseball.
All right.
Sean says put it in.
Anyways,
he does.
No.
I'm just kidding.
The correct answer was Tokyo Extreme Racing 2.
Oh God, I win! That's
I think
a
I had that.
Lead.
I think I had that too, or at least the first one.
I got the first one, and then I found the second one at the same store, and it was like $17 or $18, and I figured it was probably rare enough that I should cash in whatever store credit I had left and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you have store
I don't think
credit?
I touched it.
Where do you have store credit?
Actually, well, it was a secondhand store where I traded in some movies and stuff like that.
Ah, I was going to say, how extravagant are you, man?
All right, I'm back now. Is the answer Tokyo Extreme Racer?
Yes,
it was.
Cheater. Watch those lizard men. They like to cheat with their...
I'm not going to lie. I didn't hear the question. I just heard the Tokyo Extreme Racer was one of the answers, and I love that game. It was the last racing game I really loved.
I love it. Okay, we should do mailbag because I know Sean has to go.
All right. Mailbag.
Mailbag one.
Go ahead.
You're a D-bag. How do you feel?
So Pilot 50 asks, hey guys, for the next show, which is this show, can you talk about what any new comics that you are enjoying? Does anybody read comics other than me?
I really want to start
like that Archie
Batman
Jughead.
You're going to be, Pilot 50, you're going to be really disappointed in me because I pretty much only read Marvel comics, but I will read to you my pull list right now. hold on just a second. Talk amongst yourself. I'll give you a topic. The Industrial Revolution was neither industrial nor was it a revolution.
That is a cliche trick question. I will not answer it.
That's kind of like Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Discuss.
These all came from Coffee Talk on Saturday Night Live.
That was such an awesome skit.
Yeah, it was.
Totally.
I disagree.
You didn't like Coffee Talk?
No, not really.
I'm getting off a clip thinking about that.
Oh, God.
So something's up with my comic website, so I'm just gonna have to do this by memory. Venom is really good, the new Venom. I'm not a big Spider-Man fan, but I love the new Venom. It's really cool. You should check that out. I did check out the first issue of Avenging Spider-Man, and that was really good. I'm really excited because it's all the Avengers crossovers. And then I read anything that has Avengers in the title, so Avengers Academy, New Avengers, Secret Avengers, Avengers. I read all the Fierce Self stuff, and that was bad, except for the part where
Young Teenage Avengers in Love?
No, but Young Avengers is one of my absolute favorite titles, and it's bullshit that it only comes out like every 3 months. Herc is really good. I strongly suggest picking up Herc because it's hilarious, and the action's really good. And I think Hercules is one of the best characters in the Marvel Universe.
Is it rendered? No, is the guy rendered like Kevin Sorbo?
No, he's so much cooler than Kevin Sorbo. Dude, they've been writing Hercules comics since before Kevin Sorbo was born, so he does not get to be...
I know, but Kevin Sorbo is like Hercules, and like Lucy Lawless is
I don't want to hear it. There is no Xena in the universe. But yeah, so that's kind of... I also read Deadpool under duress because in the 90s, Deadpool was super cool, and now he's garbage, but... I was so into Deadpool in high school that I always pick up the copy, even though...
Sean, you don't read any indie comics?
Not really. I mean, I have Casanova, which has been sitting on my shelf for weeks. I don't know. It's just... I like the Marvel Universe, and I'm basically really attached to Captain America, because like Avengers, I'll read anything with Captain America in it. It's basically you get invested in one character, and then you want to know everything that goes on around him, right. And then everything that goes on around that. So that's why I don't read X-Men, is because I don't give two shits about any of those characters, and I hate Scott Summers.
Wow.
So, but yeah, I mean, as far as indies go, I'll pick them up every once in a while. Actually, the guy at my comic book store suggested I read Zegas, which I think is hilarious because it's my ex-girlfriend's name. So I was like, I won't read this.
Been there, done that.
I don't know if you want to count this, dear writer / listener. I read a lot of manga. This is a comic book, but it's a Japanese comic book. I want to read Batman and Teen Titans, but I'm broke, and I don't know where to find them to read for free. So, like, I would be really interested in reading those. I'm a huge Batman fan, but I can't afford comics. But manga is cheap, and it's usually online for free. So recently I read Busurenken.
You're killing the industry.
Yeah.
Saying.
Busurenken, which is the same guy that did Rurouni Kenshin, and it's actually really good.
Kenshin's awesome, dude.
Ninja Girls is a cool series if you like almost scantily and then sometimes actually scantily with boobialess falling out kind of manga that still has action going on. So basically it's boobs beating up bad guys. I mean, how could you go wrong, right?
Yeah. But wait, I do have to interject the free comics thing. So my really good friend from college, Rachel Penelis, just got laid off from Marvel.
Sorry.
Hey, knock it off. She just got laid off from Marvel, so screw you and you're not paying for comics.
Dude, I don't go get them for free. I said the reason that I don't read them right now is because I can't afford them.
Tokyo Pop went out of business because you were reading manga for free.
I don't read manga for free. I usually go and buy it when Borders goes out of business. That's where all the manga came from.
That's okay. Borders can go out of business.
And that's one of the problems with every industry is that if you insist on charging a particular price, that in a bad economy people can't afford, and you don't have like a section that's like lower priced shit, then you just get zero money. Like, I will not spend any money on comics because I can't.
Now what? Well, have you checked out, like, you know, I think Viz has like their digital service, and manga's only like $5 or something like that, which is not a heck of a lot more than what I pay at secondhand stores.
But I'd rather have it in my hands. Like, if I'm going to look at it online, I'll do it, but I hate it because I would rather hold the book in my hand. So I would definitely not pay to look at something on the computer.
She wants Ninja Girls in her hands.
I want Ninja Girls in my hands. I want the boobs inches away from my fingertips.
Anyway, let's talk about this other one. So,
what? Hey, I didn't get to answer. Oh, I'm not going to be forgotten.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll make it quick. Basically, I mean, I mostly keep up with like Shonen Jump, and Shonen Jump's going to be leaving the print medium early next year, I think in March. Besides that, I check out The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. I have volume 9 of that, need to find volume 8. And as far as new series go, I've been reading Codename Sailor V and Sailor Moon, the re-releases.
Of course
of
you have.
Yeah, I'm a fanboy. What do you expect? And I think
it's fan man at this point.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah, but volume 2 of both of them just came out, I think, yesterday or day before as of the time we're recording this. So yeah, go grab those on Amazon. They're like about $6 or $7. And that's pretty much it.
By the way, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, Turkey Day!
Not and trying to cut Thanksgiving. Off
mailbag, but... Well, no, for Thanksgiving, Jeremy Lamont asks, what are each of you thankful for in games?
Ah.
I am thankful for Monster Hunter. I'm not thankful for Capcom, though, since they won't bring the other one over, and they were douches to me about it when I asked.
And they suck
up
the DLC.
Wasn't a douche.
He was obviously annoyed.
Well, I don't know. No. I interpreted it as he was just more reporting that there probably wouldn't be another Monster Hunter. I didn't think it was douchey.
The don't hold your breath comment stuck with me.
that was a little insensitive, I thought, actually.
That sounded rather douche.
I mean, in his defense, though, we were interrupting.
He knew you were going to be a lizard man. You don't have to hold your breath.
Fuck you, lizard man. Go hold your breath.
Is anybody else thankful for something, though?
I am thankful for all our readers and listeners.
That's a good answer. But, I love you guys.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening and reading and making the site what it is and commenting, and just really appreciate that.
I'm thankful for when I get a game to review.
Again, ditto. Yeah,
me too.
I guess I'm thankful for probably Earth Defense Force 2017.
Which is on sale this week at GameStop for $20.
Oh, yeah. The new Insect Armageddon
came out at
buy that
bucks.
So I can actually have somebody 40. To play with, damn it. It's not as good. It definitely isn't as good as EDF 2017. I probably won't be putting like 200 hours into that one, though. But damn, I tried to play it online, and it's just not the same. You need to have people you're talking to when you're playing it online.
Mm. Word.
I'm thankful for... I'm thankful for Skyrim, not in a weird way, but because, like I said, it is such an immersive game, because I appreciate that, and not a lot of games are, really.
Right. And also thinking about that, I mean, obviously Bethesda put in a lot of time, and I know for many programmers and developers, it is a label of love, but I think we don't often see that the work that they put in, a lot of these guys and women, they put in, you know, 50, 60 plus hours a week, and... for that, and I don't know, sometimes they may not get the credit beyond the final credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree. So I'm thankful
for
that.
Thank you guys for all your hard work. We do appreciate it.
Yeah,
but you know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for when people would like to compliment their listening with a bit of reading.
That way, I can be thankful to suggest to them going to www.tech-gaming.com for the latest news, editorials, and weekly things to be thankful for.
Thankful for something else, huh?
Yeah. Well, if you want to know what else we're thankful for, you can follow us on Twitter. Robert Allen is at tech_gaming. I am at Sean Nola with two N's that stand for Thanksgiving. Sage is Simrage Morris Green. Wait, sorry, that's her name, is Sage Morris Green, and she is at Samurage. And Blue is at Blue Swim. I'd also like to give a special shout out to Jeremy Lamont, who asked me to tell everybody how much he loves the VGAs and wants to have their VGA babies. VGABs. So
would the VGABs have rabies when they're born?
Oh,
yes.
Jesus.
That is how that's going to go down. So, no, he told me specifically not to talk about the VGAs on this show. So.
he didn't want them on here.
Yeah. So, I'm thankful for him because he's fun to talk to on Twitter.
Yeah, he is.
That's true. And you know what? He said something really nice to me about my cat, and that was very sweet of him, and I appreciate his well wishes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thanksgiving, you guys, for being on the show.
Thanksgiving to you guys, too, and try not to make anyone else vomit as much as you made me vomit just now.
All right, well, I gotta go.
No, just kidding, Sean. I love you so much. Anyway, disgustingness aside.
Yes. So,
I guess the only other thing I've really played this week was Kairosoft had the makers of Game Dev Story had a sale on actually all of their games, but I picked up Pocket League Story and Grand Prix Story for the Android, and I've been hooked on Pocket League. It's not quite as polished as Game Dev Story. It's the music drops out from time to time, and the gameplay will slow down until you bring up the menu, and then it'll resume as normal. It doesn't feel quite as well polished as some of the other entries, but for $250, it was worth it. I've been waiting for that game to drop.
So,
do you know why I stopped eating fast food?
This is gross.
Oh, yeah, well, there's that too.
Because Monopoly season ended?
No. Because when I was 18, I pretty much stopped eating fast food when I was like 16 or 17 because I didn't really like it anyway, and I figured that'd be better for me. But if I was playing soccer, sometimes I would still eat it because I, wouldn't have time to go get something, whatever, and I'm starving. So I went to McDonald's and I got like a 20-piece chicken McNuggets because that's basically all I would eat there. And I'm chowing down, and three nuggets in, I crunched down on something hard and I was like, what the hell? That's weird. And I pulled it out of my mouth, and it was a tooth, a human tooth that had been in the nugget. It was not one of mine. I checked all my teeth. It was in the nugget. I threw the whole box away and I never looked back.
Did you put it under your pillow?
No,
Put it under your pillow, get a dollar or
two? No. But now, these days, everybody's like, oh, you should have sued him. You would have made so much money. And it's like, what was I going to do with that much money when I was 18? Like, I would have become a douchebag if I had a bunch of money when I was 18.
Yeah, but you'd be a rich douchebag.
Here's my question. If that would have happened to you at, say, the Bourbon House, would you just not go to restaurants anymore?
No, but interestingly, in torts, restaurants have a different standard of responsibility with their food than fast food places do, because it's the difference between whether it's prepped live, like on the premises, versus if it's like fast food. So if there's like a finger in fast food, it's really hard to figure out where that finger came from. Did it come from the original warehouse? Did it come from, you know, some other place? Whereas if you go to a restaurant, there's a finger in your salad. They probably just cut their finger off in the kitchen and somehow haven't noticed yet. So it's a really different standard. But no, I would
not. That's not a vinaigrette. That's blood.
I would maybe stop going to that restaurant, possibly, if I thought they were going to do it again. But I would assume that their chef would get fired.
This is why I like LA County so much. Because LA County, it's really easy to tell which places you can't go to. Oh, that's a C-rated place. I should probably not go anywhere near there.
Yeah, we don't have that. But you guys also have, like, don't they mark calories on everything? Like, anywhere you go, they tell you calories.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
No, and it's not bad. It's just kind of interesting that, like, there's that obsession with, like, Subway now doesn't offer cheese with their sandwich. I mean, you can get cheese, but they won't put cheese on unless you specifically ask for cheese on your sandwich, because that's their way of helping with the obesity problem. Is to
but
not
that
get
used
cheese.
To be that used to be their thing. Subway was started by the American Heart Foundation.
Oh, I know, Jared, right? Big fat guy.
No, I mean, it's pre-Jared. Like, that's who started the company.
Yeah, actually, on the bags, I don't know how they still have helpful. That. They still have that moniker on the bags, the American Heart, or what, no, something about doctors, American doctors.
Yeah. Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, but one of those, yeah, it was a like a health organization started Subway. The idea being a nationally branded healthy food place, but it, I don't know, it's a hellhole now because it's one of the easiest franchises to start.
When you put two layers of bacon on chicken and smother it all with barbecue sauce, I don't think that's too healthy.
Ugh. Oh, but before the show starts, though, I did want to talk about one story that I was specifically told not to talk about on the show.
So we are.
Well, it's not the show yet. Okay. But no, I went to that SD Gundam event. And they, you know, at the end of the event, they gave us Gundam models, right?
Oh, you fucker.
And he goes, but you can't mention the models in conjunction with the game because the game is based on a Korean toy line, which wasn't made available in the States. And Bandai doesn't have the rights to all of the Gundams in the toy line in America. And so, and the Japanese toys, which are the ones we got, are disassociated with the Korean toys. And so it's like, so they, when you're talking about the game, you're only supposed to talk about the game and not any of the shows or the toys.
Make no reference of Gundam at all. Like, it just stands in its own fucking universe.
I mean,
so we're going to talk about a new IP tonight. You might have heard of Gundam.
Well, it's like I can say things like, yeah, you know, Wing Zero Custom is in it, and all the different types of wing, and all the, you know, like all the things from Gundam Wing are, but I can't like use that to tangentially be like, oh yeah, and you know, you can play this while you're playing or while you're watching the show, and it lines up perfectly because
it does.
Like Bandai America doesn't have the rights to the show in the U.S.
Which is so.
There's gonna be so much redacting done during the SD Gundam talk, isn't there?
It's just so weird the way rights and intellectual property is handled internationally.
Do you know who owns Gundam here now?
Viz? I don't know. Who.
No, NBC.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was looking up because I mean, like after I went to the event, I was like, oh yeah, Gundam. I'm all about that. And I was looking up Gundam stuff, and whenever I'd go to YouTube and there'd be a video that got taken down, it was always NBC Universal that had taken it down.
Oh,
so.
That is weird.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, I could be wrong, but I think several months ago, Funimation was pulling Sailor Moon videos off of YouTube, and they don't, as far as I know, have the rights to it.
They have the rights to some of them. It's weird, because Funimation and, is it Toki, or what's someone that went out of business and just LA? Now resurrected itself?
Tokyo Pop?
Yeah, they're doing this little bidding war on Sailor Moon shit now, and like each one has half.
They want to lose business.
I guess so.
I think NBC should have a late night talk show with Freedom Wing.
With Gundam Wing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
You know what NBC needs? NBC needs like a good mature adult Power Rangers.
See, I've been, you know what? I've said that for years that that Power Rangers could parlay into an interesting primetime show.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the business side of that doesn't work, because the business side is...
put crappy comedies on and watch NBC go downhill?
Well, no. I'm talking about for Power Rangers. The whole reason Power Rangers works is because it's super cheap for Saban or Disney to produce.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Disney sold it is because Disney was like, we're going to try and do this right and do it all stateside and, you know, do entirely new action scenes and stuff. And they're like, fuck, these shows are expensive to produce. But Saban just takes the Japanese shows, shoots a couple of zany shots with white people, and then puts it out there. Because you don't have to really translate anything, because you can just make shit up, make it super low budget.
I must have been like 20 before I realized that all the sequences with Rita Repulsa were actually dubbed.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I could see that. They did an interesting kind of job on that.
Yeah.
Sean, is your model SD or is it a regular Gundam?
Yeah, it's SD. It's the SD Wing Zero Custom. That's who I played as in the demo, and I was like, I want to take him home.
See, I never understood why they didn't make a SD Gundam Lego game. That would have been so cool.
Bandai doesn't want to give their toy property to another toy company.
Yeah. I'd still see. But a Lego-like. You know how Disney had...
There are tons of SD Gundam games. Right. It's just none of them come to the States because of this stupid, weird way Bandai licenses their shit over here. It's just like all the Super Robot Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Never comes to the States, because even though Bandai owns all of those properties in Japan, it's like Funimation and Viz and Tokyo Pop and I guess NBC and Cartoon Network and or Time Warner rather, they all own those individually over here. So it's like one of these days Bandai needs to pull a Disney and just say, well, I guess Disney hasn't even pulled a Disney yet, but say everybody we sold our stuff to, we need it back. And then just give it all to one person, or just do it themselves or something.
Right. No, because Disney had that very Lego-like game, the Disney Universe,
mm-hmm.
where they put all their characters in a very, you know, kind of Lego-like game.
Yeah.
Which Penny Man reviewed recently. Speaking of boobies, got Automadius in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that supposed to come out like back in the summer?
Yeah, during the summer they had a hard time getting it through Microsoft's certification.
Mm.
Ooh.
And they at the time the PR rep told me that it would be lucky if it ever comes out in the United States, and it seemed to have a really kind of soft launch. Like, I don't see it in any stores. I asked GameStop, went in there the other day. Got Automadius.
Why would GameStop put Automadius out when they can put another copy of Skyrim or Modern Warfare 3 out?
Counter-programming for, you know, people like boobies, animated boobies. Like,
I broke Phil Kohler's heart today on Twitter. Did you see that?
No, I haven't been on Twitter since
He had retweeted something somebody wrote about. Oh, and since... what three games was it? It was since Deus Ex. Fuck, I don't remember what the other two games were. Oh, no, not Uncharted. Oh, Deus Ex, Batman, and Skyrim are all doing so well. Maybe publishers will focus on the fact that you don't need multiplayer to have a successful game. And I was like, they'll probably just focus on the fact that the three of those, when their sales are all combined, still won't add up to the day one sales of Modern Warfare 3.
You don't think so?
Skyrim would have to sell over 3 million copies to meet the day one sales of Modern Warfare 3.
What were the day one sales?
9.5 million copies.
Holy shit.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Why should I even review it?
Over 1.5 million people were counted waiting in line. That's just the locations who actually counted the people who waited in line. Over 1.5 million people waited in line at midnight.
Wow.
That is some shit.
Yeah.
Well, I played some.
You know.
Maybe I'll talk about it. Maybe not.
I'm calling it now. I think Skyrim's going to be eighth overall holiday season MPD numbers.
Skyrim?
Skyrim, yeah. Nope. I think a lot
shit.
Of the...
You know what I just realized?
I think,
it would have been a perfect trivia. They have, over in Ireland, they have a, it's called Paddy something betting, and they actually have a bookie service, and you will predict what game sells the most. And I think Modern Warfare 3 has 5-6 odds. It is the overwhelming leader. Like, FIFA is 12-1.
Yeah, I mean...
So
well, the last game was the best selling game of all time, mm-hmm. and it had under 2 million pre-orders, I think.
Right. So here are the odds: 10-11 for FIFA 12, 2-1 Gears of War 3, 9-1 Pro Evolution Soccer 2011, 12-1 Final Fantasy Versus 13, 12-1 Mario Kart 7, and 5-6 Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Best-selling.
Yeah, as far as your Skyrim prediction goes, I don't think Skyrim will outsell Batman. I mean, yeah, Modern Warfare will be far and away the victor, but I think Batman
It's a smaller audience. Yeah. I think there's more people into Batman than there are into fantasy. Because that's pretty hard. Yeah, it's pretty hard fantasy.
You gotta always temper your expectation for games, seeing who's excited about it. Is it the core audience? Because they're like, even though we think we're this big part of the gaming population, we are such an infinitesimally small part now.
Yeah.
As proved by the Black Eyed Peas experience actually getting green lit.
Well, no, not by that, but I mean, like the frat guy gamer, you know, the bro gamer that we all claim to hate. They like dollars and cents and you know, player wise and time played wise, by and large, outnumber the core gamers now. Like, there's a reason that Gears of War and Modern Warfare sell so well. It's because, you know, the quote-unquote core gamer is not the core of the marketplace anymore. If they were to just stop core gamer games altogether, the industry could survive now. I mean, this is kind of the first time in history that's been the case, but it really is.
All right. Just keep Angry Birds coming.
It's sort of like if they stopped making artsy films and just made Michael Bay films for the rest of time, that could still sustain itself. You know, movie buffs wouldn't like it, but movie buffs are such a small part of the movie-going audience that it doesn't really matter.
That's right. I should give you shit about watching Tower Heist.
And you know what? We just went. It was one of those things that my girlfriend just taken a exam.
Right.
And she just like, I want to do something so that I can take my mind off the fact that I just took this exam. And we're just like, all right, let's go see a movie. So we did I haven't done this since I was in high school. You know, just go to the theater. Like, I want to buy a ticket to something. Mm-hmm. And Tower Heist was like the only thing playing. So we're like, all right, Tower Heist, and it was really good.
Really, I didn't know until a week and a half ago that Brett Ratner directed it.
I didn't know until last night or night before last that Brett Ratner directed it.
Surprise.
Yeah. Well, he's you heard the whole Olivia Munn, Lindsay Lohan thing?
Yep. Yeah. Heard about that.
What was that?
Olivia Munn's new book, I guess, either just came out or is about to come out, and there's a part in it where she describes working on set with Brett Ratner, and one of the assistants comes up and says, Brett Ratner needs you in his trailer. And she shows up in his trailer, and he's eating shrimp and jerking off. And it's not like she walked in on him sort of thing. He's like, hey, you've got a nice look. What nationality are you? And she's like, this is super uncomfortable. And then he's like, bleh, bleh. And then I guess after that came out, Lindsay Lohan came out and was like, yeah, I can confirm this because he did the exact same thing to me. And then I guess he said something about gays and...
He said rehearsal. The exact quote was, rehearsals are for fags.
Yeah.
And which is just, I don't know, such a stupid comment. It's like, you don't rehearse. You know, your scenes.
His career is probably going to be over after this.
I don't think so. I think in Hollywood, I mean, look at Mel Gibson. I think he's going to make another comeback despite everything he said and done.
The difference between Brett Ratner and Mel Gibson, though, is Mel Gibson
has talent.
Mel Gibson, he hasn't acted really since then except for in one major movie, and it got canned before the movie. So it came out.
Which one?
The one where he's like the Boston cop guy. What?
The Beaver? He did that one with Jodie Foster, and then he did, about the guy who talks to a puppet.
Oh, shit. That was recently.
Yeah, and that bombed. But yeah, he did the other one where he was the cop and his daughter was killed. And it was
All I remember about that when it came out was people protesting and stuff.
Well, there was nothing to protest. It was a bad movie. But it was like Edge of Sanity or Edge of something.
Edge of Sanity sounds right.
So it's some generic title.
It's funny, Mel Gibson should come up. The South Park was rerunning the episode where Kyle's wanting to watch the Passion of the Christ, and Stan and Kenny go watch Passion of the Christ, and they're like, "This movie sucks. We want our $18 back." And they go to Mel Gibson's house, and Mel Gibson's like, "You're gonna have to torture me for it." And he strips down to his underwear, and he's like putting himself in a torture rack and, and jumping through the house like a ninja. And
did I tell you guys my Passion of the Christ story?
No.
Okay, so it was college, and there was this girl who was like really super hot, but also pretty religious.
oh no. Run for your life.
And my buddy was like, "Oh yeah, you know, I know her. I can hook you up and we'll go talk to her." And I was like, "Cool." And, you know, I was like, "Oh yeah," and we got to talking. And she was like, "Yeah, you know, right now I'm trying to raise money for this retreat we're doing. We're gonna take a trip up to Boston." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And my buddy Jay's like, "Oh dude, retreats, this is gonna be awesome. It's gonna be just, you know, you and her, maybe a couple other people. You go to Boston, you know, it's like romantic city, whatever." I was like, "Yeah, you're right." So I helped her raise money. I went on the trip, and so we're driving to the airport. It's me, her, and these two other guys. We're like super stereotypical Jesus freak guys. We get to the airport, we get our bags out, and she's like, "All right, bye, guys." And she's like, what? And so now it's me and these two guys I've never met before going to Boston on this retreat, and we roll up to the seminary at Boston College. And we get there, and we go to mass and whatever, and they're like, "All right, so the next 2 days are your I forget what they call it, but it's basically you have to be silent for 2 days. So for 2 days, you're in this retreat doing all these activities where nobody says a word.
Wow.
And you're living in a seminary, and so it's like, all right, so fine. And then finally, at the end of the 2 days, we get to break our silence, and we watch Passion of the Christ, which hasn't come out at this point. We are at this point the largest audience to have ever seen Passion of the Christ. And it doesn't have opening credits or ending credits. And all the music is taken from Indiana Jones, which nice. I think is hilarious.
Yeah, nice.
But the people around me are like bawling, and they're like super into it, and they're crying. And I'm just sitting here trying not to laugh.
Did anybody like kill over of a heart attack? I remember a whole bunch of people.
But why? I mean, that just seems like such a stupid idea. That Indiana Jones or such a that music, John Williams.
Well, they didn't use the main theme.
Okay,
but they used the rest of the music. And I've seen Indiana Jesus Jones being time nailed that I can pick
to the yeah to the cross. I don't know. You think more of a. What is that one from Platoon that they use in a lot of movies?
Oh shit, I don't know. I know which one you're thinking about.
Yeah, it's like kind of a real sad meditative piece. You'd think that would be kind of, you know, a little bit better. But I thought it was the main da 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 da.
What was also funny is they warned us before. They're like, "Yeah, and some of the special effects aren't quite done yet, but you know, it's just, you know, you get an idea of it. It's right. In watchable format now." And I don't know if you ever saw Passion of the Christ, but there's this one scene where I think it's when they're nailing him up and he looks up and it's kind of this swirly thing. And the big thing that they said they had to do is Jim Caviezel has green eyes, and they went through and they put CG blue eyes in.
Mm.
And when he looks up, it's in like every third frame, his eyes aren't blue. And so his eyes are like flashing.
It's like super technical.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's Robot Jesus.
Yeah. Man, that was crazy. The other thing about that was there's this one girl at the retreat who the first day that we were silent, we went to mass, and the way the chapel was set up is there were the boys sat on one side and the girls sat on the other side, and they face each other. And there was a cockroach that just kind of was... It scurried across in the middle of the floor. I just kind of wandered around, you know, whatever. I'm a cockroach, and there's nobody bothering me, so I'm just going to kind of hang out. And I saw it, and I kind of just watched it and spaced out. Mm-hmm. And this girl noticed that, held on to it for 3 days, found me, and then brought it up. I was like, what? Wow.
Wait a minute. How'd she keep it?
No. Not kept the cockroach. I mean, like she kept the fact that I was not paying attention in mass because I was
okay.
And gotcha. She
I thought she kept the cockroach in a jar.
No,
like a just, pet.
She just held on to the fact that I wasn't paying attention for 3 days so that she could bring it up and be like, if you need some spiritual help, I'm like,
oh my God, really? Now, how come you didn't leave?
Because I was in Boston.
Yeah, but just leave the seminary and go, you know, hit the bars or...
I didn't have money for a hotel or anything like that.
Oh, my God. Okay. Because I would have boned out.
Yeah. Well, we did have a scavenger hunt the last day, and we split up into teams. And one of the girls on my team was kind of in a similar situation to me. And so we did ditch during that, and that was cool. But the rest of the...
you ever talk to a religious girl again?
Nope. Airport, that was it.
Oh, man. That's probably the setup. It's a trap.
She is married now, though. She's my Facebook friend. She also has a PhD in something.
Theology.
Crazy. No, I don't think it's actually theology. She got her master's in theology, but I think her PhD is in something legitimate.
Something useful.
Yeah.
Cool.
So should we start, or are we going to keep waiting for Sage?
We could start.
I need to switch over to the laptop. I'm on my cell phone.
Do that.
Costing him money.
What, did I hit the speakerphone button on this thing?
Who knows?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Loud and clear.
Alrighty. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, still here.
What is this like, damn thing doing?
Keep it up, Blue. We're going to send you to Boston.
Let's see. Damn, what's
the only thing keeping you sane will be a cockroach. Fine line.
Okay, I think I finally figured out.
You know what I can picture, Sean, is you watching the little antenna kind of move around. I could totally see that because cockroaches, you know, they'll stand still for a second, then they'll move their antenna, kind of scope their environment, and just figuring out, like, what the fuck's it doing?
And at that point, there wasn't even Monster Hunter, so I could sit there and be like, oh, it's a tiny little Monster Hunter with a little sword.
Cha.
I could turn its back into armor.
I've been wearing tiny cockroach armor.
How many hit points would I get for
each? I could turn it into a ring and give it to a pretty girl.
That trip's also where I discovered soy milk, though, so that was good.
That wasn't a total loss, huh? Actually, I'm a fan of almond milk than soy milk.
I do like almond milk, but almond milk's super sweet.
Yeah, it is. It's good. It's good, like, with cereal. Like, not too, you know, like adult cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Not like kid, you know, already sugary cereal.
Well, it was made more awkward because after we left, well, you know what? We could just talk about the Have You Ever Drank, and that'll come up too. But we left the Sega party, and she was hungry because she hadn't eaten anything, and all they had at the Sega party was like hors d'oeuvres, which they didn't have enough of for everybody. And so we wanted to find a place to eat, but I mean, it's like 1 a.m. at this point. So our options are IHOP, which were super crowded, and this place called Louie's, which is this apparently super nice restaurant that also sells those macarons.
Macaroons?
Well, see, is macaroon and macaron a different thing?
I've never
heard of those little cookies.
The coconut.
Yeah, well, they're not coconut. They're like those little wafery, I don't know. We'll call them macaroons. Why not?
Oh.
But anyway, we walk in there because they're closing, And this guy, like, totally sets us up with this romantic table, and it's, like, this super, like, Lady and the Tramp sort of setup, and, you know, they bring us coffee and macaroons, and like,
yeah. Did you roll one of the macaroons over to her with your nose?
I did, because I was drunk. But it was super awkward, because they're, like, they think they're creating this great moment for us in this empty restaurant. We're, like, let's eat and get the fuck out of here.
No. Sage, really had, Sage never mentioned any of these things, so
was
probably bringing it up.
It was funny. And then I really had to pee, but I didn't want to pee there because I wanted to get out.
Yeah.
And so we found this Mexican place, which was also closing. And they were actually closed, but they were, you know, it was sort of when they close down and then people who are in can finish up eating and leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when somebody was leaving, I busted in and went to the
bathroom. I've done that many a time. The impromptu, yeah, trip to the urinal.
Yeah, it was. Man, I really was drunk that night, though. Yeah. It was fun. I cut my hand open in the bathroom.
Did you? I thought you told me that.
Yeah, well, say
how did you cut your hand?
It was the latch in the bathroom at the Nokia Center.
Oh, that's right.
Closed on my knuckle.
Knuckles, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Knuckles got ya.
Yikes. Did you smother the thing in Germex or anything?
Yeah, they had the whole, I mean, it was a super nice bathroom, and they had the whole, like, attendant and everything, and...
Sir, can I get a tourniquet?
I did not ask for a Band-Aid, I should have, but I did ask for hand sanitizer.
I've never used Band-Aids until recently. I always thought they were kind of, you know, a puss thing to do. And then I had a scabby elbow. I don't know exactly how I got it, but, you know, kind of scabbed over. And I'm wearing, like, you know, a business dress shirt. And I guess it was kind of rubbing against there, and it started bleeding through the shirt. I'm such a fucking idiot. I should have worn a Band-Aid.
My frat name was Bandages.
Because you wore a lot?
Well, yeah, yes, because I hurt myself all the time, but specifically because when I had my moped, I got into a nasty fall, and I got all scabbed up, and then we had a fraternity event where we went and played bingo at, like, an old folks home, and I didn't want to miss that, and so I just took masking tape, basically, and toilet paper, and I made myself makeshift bandages, and I had them, like, all over my hands, and so first they were going to call me Street Fighter, but then this girl I went to high school with that I had a huge crush on, mm-hmm. She calls me up in the middle of this event, and she's like, hey, you know, I'm in town with a bunch of my NASA buddies, and we're only in town for the night, and we were wondering if you knew some bars. And I was like, I know some bars. I'm already drunk, and I'll just come meet you down in the quarter.
Wow.
And so, like, I show up, haven't seen this girl in years, covered in bandages, and then she's got, you know, she was in this NASA program, so she's got all dudes with her, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm all, like... shit, I don't want these guys hitting on her. I certainly don't want New Orleans guys hitting on her because I want in on this. So I took them to a gay bar.
There you go.
Because when you're super drunk and you don't want guys hitting on this girl, that seemed like the best course of action instead of just assuming, hey, these guys are from NASA and
that's
they're probably
shrewd,
not.
Yeah, that's a not shrewd that tactic. Slick. Yeah. Did the NASA guys enjoy the gay bar?
They did. It was fun, actually.
Gay bars always play the best music, so.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I did not take them to Oz, though. If you're ever in New Orleans and want to go to gay bar, go to the pub, not Oz.
That's usually not very often.
All the time.
Cool.
All right. I've got a story to start the show with, too. I'm full of stories
gay
today.
Bars. Are there any gay bars in Tennessee, Blue?
I'm sure there
are. Asking me? You're asking me?
You can be straight, go to a gay bar. I've gone to many a gay bar.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong.
Honestly,
they're fun.
I'm sure they're around here somewhere. I just, I mean, I'm not a big club guy. I mean, it's like, because the
Do you live near Memphis?
Here.
Huh? Do you live near Memphis?
No, I'm Nashville.
Oh, I don't know about Nashville. Memphis definitely has gay bars.
That would have been such an awesome show title.
Memphis definitely has gay bars.
Hey, well, throw it in the bump. Or throw it in as the Easter egg.
But I was like, yep, more awkward sexual tension.
it's back.